This is PFW in Progress.
Retirement, actually.
Retirement? What are you, a hockey player? You took an oath. No retirement from this.
PFW in Progress with Paul Perillo.
Well, that's Nori's favorite. Special Eat Hotel. Tell us where you want to stop.
Keep it coming.
Paul Perillo.
I don't know about you, but ever since we found this place, I catch myself fantasizing about this.
Me too. Sometimes during sex.
Paul Perillo.
I keep this up. How many need clothing and autos?
You should have called your sponsor before you bought that jacket.
Look at this guy. Members only? How long you been wearing that?
Paul Perillo.
I caught a parasite over there. Actually, that's why I'm here. I've been dying for a Satriali's veal palm hero.
Paul Perillo.
Kim, I hope that parasite eats his ass.
Paul Perillo.
Funny, you want to smack in a mouth?
What? I'm serious.
Hey, with your cousin, Philly, it's hard.
I told you he was a...
Paul Perillo.
Honey. Oh, menu.
Paul Perillo.
He just... Gaudy, I could recite that menu in my sleep.
Paul Perillo.
Sorry, everything's so f***ing morbid. There's a man lying dead over there.
Paul Perillo.
Oh my God, this eel is delicious.
Okay, Spanish macaroni.
Like another sake, huh?
And you never know, Lori might stop by.
I thought maybe we drive up there.
Is that new?
Oh, the car. Yes, Porsche Cayenne. Like the pepper.
PFW in Progress.
You know what? You want to get something done, you got to do it yourself.
Why don't you put your mic on? It's your first time on this show.
Okay, welcome to the Paul Perillo Show. No, it's PFW in Progress. We're back. It's Tuesday. What's the matter, Paul?
I'm laughing at Mini Gary in there who thinks he's all funny. He takes his little shots at me and my eating.
I had no idea that was
I had no idea.
Hey, the mic's working again, huh?
Yeah, we got the mic fixed.
Got the producer mic fixed?
Yeah, we talked to Doug Lane about that at the wedding.
Well, we have a lot to talk about. First of all, welcome back, Tom Casale. Tom, how you doing?
Can we do a golf clap?
Tom is back. He's sounding very, very sexy.
Fred, that's the second time in the last 20 minutes you've made that comment.
And he sounds like the Godfather.
And it didn't offend me any less this time than it did the first time.
I'm just saying, you know, Tom is recovering, so he's not exactly – his voice isn't back to 100%, so he's going to have to be talking directly into the mic today. Right, Tom?
Yeah, it's. I probably won't be saying a lot, but – it's good to be back, and I appreciate everything that everyone said when I was away, especially James, who made that website. When you have something like this, you're pretty down and depressed, and when I went there and saw all the things that everyone said, that really lifted my spirits.
So that was nice, and Tom is back. Eventually, when you feel up to it, we're going to have to hear some stories. I'm sure you've got some stories, you know, throughout the week, things that you had to go through, and you know, I'm sure you.
Let's just say the wife's filing for divorce as we speak.
I'm sure you have some funny twists to put on some of the stuff that you had to go through.
Mm-hmm.
You know, keeping up your sense of humor. So when you're ready, you know, you've aggregated all those stories into.
You couldn't eat any Skittles, though, could you?
No Skittles.
No Skittles.
Nope.
Okay,
that's a bummer.
Any good looking nurses?
No.
No good looking nurses.
I never get any good looking nurses. Are there any?
I'd like to thank my wife.
My cousin's a nurse.
Oh, so your wife's a nurse. I never get any of them.
No.
I always got those old ones.
Yeah.
Nurse ratchets?
Yeah.
So all right.
That's what we call my sister.
I want to know how Gary's wedding went. How was it?
Well, it was good.
First of all, strippers, we are sorry to disappoint you. We were unable to blog from the reception. As strippers wanted us to blog, we couldn't do that. It was a nice time.
I'll pat myself on the back and say I was the only one that actually went to the ceremony and witnessed the vows.
I wouldn't have gone.
That is true that you are the only one. However, you made up for that by leaving the reception about a half hour after it started.
That's true. That's true. No, it was a nice ceremony in a nice church in Newton. Old, you know, big ceiling, vaulted ceiling.
Can I ask a question?
What?
Why in the hell does somebody, and I'm being dead honest, I don't know the answer. Why does someone have a wedding at 2 and a reception at 6?
Well, I don't understand that myself.
Okay. I thought maybe I was nuts.
Yeah, did that contribute to you leaving early?
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's the reason why Andy and I didn't go to the ceremony. Normally, first of all, my wife wouldn't let me miss a ceremony unless there was extenuating circumstances. I just didn't have the child care. You know, I didn't have anybody to watch the kids.
Well, I had my kid at home all day.
Your kid's 13.
I know. But still,
well, if you have to go to the wedding, if you say you have to leave at noon, you don't get back until midnight, for Christ's sakes.
Right. I think I left around 9.
But it was
15.
A nice time, and Gary was in good spirits, obviously.
Yeah.
Such a good day. Got a beautiful day for the wedding, too.
Oh, Saturday. It was great.
What song did he walk down to?
It was da-da-da-da. Wasn't it a football, one of those stadium songs?
When they got introduced?
Yeah.
Yeah, I forget, though.
It was one of those songs, you know. But it was nice, you know, a lot of people, I'd say probably 300 people at the reception at the Granite Links Golf Course in Quincy, which is a fairly new golf course overlooking Boston. So that was nice. They had the traditional Irish band for the appetizers.
I'm glad you brought that up. Fred was, the life of the party at the cocktail reception, and it was outside in a tent. Overlooking, you know, the golf course. It was really, really nice. And they had this Irish, like a string quartet or
something
like
that.
Yeah. And Fred was just jamming to every song, singing out loud at one point. With no care whatsoever for those around him, you know, even though Andy and I were at the same table.
Well, you know the No Nay Never song? I said no, nay, never. Dun, 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 no, nay, never, no more. They started singing
He was singing
that.
As loud as he could.
So that brought me back to about every St. Patrick's Day I ever had between 20 and 30 years old, drunk in Boston somewhere. So,
It was embarrassing.
Oh,
but
okay.
What are you going to do?
God forbid I have a good time.
Yeah, you had such a good time, you had to leave a half hour later.
Well, I wasn't going to go dancing, so I figured once the cake came out, time
Mickey
to go
doesn't
home.
Like to dance? Or?
Oh, she does.
She does.
Not,
she,
not,
with,
I,
you,
not with Fred.
I didn't want to. At my wedding, she was out there the whole time, pretty much.
Yeah. It wasn't like your wedding, Tom. Your wedding was more intimate, like kind of like even though you didn't know everyone, you felt like you knew everyone.
There were a lot of people at this
they
wedding.
They put us, you know, me, Andy, Paul. Who else was at our table?
That's it, because Tom wasn't
there. Tom wasn't. They put us in the furthest corner they could find. It's like we were lepers.
Gary came over and
they didn't
and
even
said,
want us near anybody.
He said, I know you guys aren't going to believe me, but I do want to explain something. When we originally had this laid out, you guys were at this table, and he points right behind our table. We were in a corner, because Fred's right. It's not exaggerating. We were literally in a corner. He said, there was to be a bar right here, and that's why you guys were on this corner, so you had a bar. But then they wouldn't let him put one bar over there and the other bar on the other side. They wanted the setup, because they had two bars, and they were in the same side of the room on opposite corners. That's Gary's story.
I'm not buying it.
We were off with the unwashed masses.
Oh, we were way in the corner.
It was like Titanic. Oh, nothing down there but steerage. That was us.
But you had the table to yourself. You didn't have other people you didn't know at the table.
It was a table of eight, and it was Fred, Andy, and I with our wives, and Tom and Allison were to be the seventh and eighth at our table. And Tom, you'll be very glad to know that Andy Hart ate your meal.
Yeah, he did.
I am not kidding.
He did.
I am not kidding. I wish I were.
It's like, Fred, pass me over that plate.
How was the food?
Orange firewater.
Although the salad was...
There was three choices that you had for a meal, right?
Oh, yeah.
Fred checked them all.
I checked them all, so they were confused. They didn't know what to give me.
And so then he got mad.
And then I asked for salmon. They wouldn't give it to me.
Then he got mad. Because he
I said I checked
salmon.
All three, so I had to have chicken. But I made up for us being in the corner by walking right in front of the DJ when he was doing the announcements.
He did.
Screw you.
Well, you know who did the? You know who introduced the wedding party in all? You know, like, you know, introducing the bride and groom. It was our voice guy, Rob.
Rob Shula.
Who does you know, PFW in progress.
Now, Glenn Ordway was there.
Was he?
Yeah, Fred Smirlis.
Fred Smirlis,
Dale
Glenn
Arnold.
Ordway, Dale Arnold.
So, but local Eric, you weren't there, is that right?
No.
Okay. I just wondering.
No.
Now, how come you didn't get invited?
Because Gary doesn't like me.
Oh, okay.
I think that's pretty much well established.
Okay.
We went over this last week.
I can't think of another reason.
But Tom.
That's pretty much the reason, yeah.
More impressively than Eric being snubbed, Lori wasn't invited.
Okay? Oh,
but
now,
on top
you
of
might,
that,
you might just say that in and of itself, that, you know, that's okay. You
right.
know, even though that Lori does the podcast with us every single week for how long now, and you know, obviously works very closely with Gary, you would think, well, you know, someone had to miss the cut, right? Mm-hmm. But when
Time
you look,
out. Why are you teaming up on me?
When you look at it a little bit more in depth, there was another expatriate cheerleader who was invited, named Allie Preston, who's now a Celtics, one of the
right.
Celtics dancers.
I didn't
now,
see her.
She wasn't there because she was in L.A. with the Celtics.
Oh, hot.
Anyway, so Lori couldn't even top the list of ex Patriots cheerleaders.
She's got to be crushed.
It's a crushing blow to the ego.
She was upset.
She's already, her life is already over anyway because she's no longer a Patriots cheerleader.
Right.
Now she can't even get invited to a wedding with a guy who she works closely with every single week.
Well, I mean, Gary.
That's embarrassing.
I gave Gary a certain amount of money in his envelope as a present, but I told him I'll double it if you don't invite me.
Did you, he didn't. Did you just take it out of your wallet like you did for me?
Yeah, whatever I had in my wallet.
$140.
I thought it was 111.
Wow.
Who gives 140?
That's what I had.
I know. That's what I said to Allison when I opened it up. Because I said, now most people
would carries $140 around with them anyway in this day and age?
All 20s. So most people would just give 150. And I said, I guarantee you that's what Fred had in his wallet. He took it out and put it in the card.
And that's true. That's really true.
That's absolutely
right.
Oh,
my God.
So, like, they had, like, the fold in them and everything?
Yeah, that's absolutely right.
You're a menace, Fred.
Well, you know, I emptied it out for him.
Couldn't even go to the bank and get
the appreciate
bills
it, Fred. It was just funny because I knew exactly what you had done.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So, look at this. Our web's not working again. Our web? I can't get the emails.
That's why I told you to log in as Gary so you could just go on
I can't even
Microsoft.
Get those.
Why?
It says unavailable, and then it just comes up with the personal folders.
I don't understand. I mean, Outlook hasn't gone down.
Dan.
Speaking of guys who were snubbed from the wedding, Dan.
Dan, Minnie Gary didn't go?
Minnie Gary wasn't invited.
Wasn't invited.
300 people and he couldn't get a seat?
Nope.
So is his wife popular? Because I know 300 people could give a damn about Gary.
They were almost all probably on her side. Yes. So the show's going to end here because evidently Fred can't just log on to Microsoft Outlook.
You know, I would
appreciate
it if you kept talking while I'm trying to resolve this issue here.
So you guys all had a good time?
It was good.
Was Andy complaining?
Nobody got drunk or anything like your wedding. You know?
No, God. No. I was warned. Beth actually said, I don't want to repeat it's Aunt's wedding. I said, we were staying over. That was a whole different thing.
Well, that is true.
Oh, man, I was drunk that night.
Yeah.
And you know, Andy behaved himself besides eating, you know, two dinners.
And three pieces of cake.
How did he get the third one? Oh, his wife's?
Oh, they had the cake on a table, so he had to go up and get it.
And he went back for thirds?
Yes. That is accurate.
What a menace.
How big was that cake for 300-something people?
I didn't see the before product. I only saw when it was all sliced up.
Right.
Worst part of
the
wedding.
They didn't do the whole cake cutting.
No.
They didn't do any of those.
No, they didn't really do any of the traditional stuff.
The only thing they did was they said, all right, all the married couples get out on the dance floor. And then they started saying, okay, everybody who's been married less than a year.
It went up to 58 years.
58 years was the
longest.
And I did that at my wedding, so I can't make fun of it.
I wish we hadn't have done the cutting of the cake is the worst thing. That's the worst tradition. You got to get rid of it. It just slows everything down. The lady finally came up to me because I kept pushing it off and said, Tom, your wedding ends in a half an hour. We got to cut the cake. I just didn't want to do it. It's just stupid.
Yeah. I think all the traditions of marriage should be done away with.
I totally agree. I don't really like any of them.
You know, every marriage should be different.
Every
wedding should be different.
Yeah, it should be your own.
Whatever the hell you want.
Yeah, right. That's why we didn't do any of it.
You know, if you want to sit around watching a baseball game, that's what it is. If you want to have a softball game, have a softball game.
I agree, Fred.
In fact, I know a couple. Their wedding, they had a softball game, and the bride's team was her family was one team, and the groom's family was the other team. This is true. Whoever won the game, the other person had to take their name.
Oh,
and she won, and he took her name. That was the deal.
Wow.
I thought that was great. That's a great idea.
Not for him.
He should be shot. Not for taking her name, but for losing the damn game.
Right?
When you got that much on the line, you got to bring some ringers in.
Yeah. All right, webradio@patriots.com is the email address, and maybe Dan can get in here and log me in as Gary so that maybe I can get some email here because I can't get it over the internet. We've been having this trouble here.
Over a week.
Suddenly now it's an issue that it has affected Fred Kirsch. I suggested it was an issue before the
now
show,
it's affecting me.
Right.
We've had every excuse from we got hit by lightning to all this stuff. And So
all I know is they seem to have identified the problem but are unable to fix it.
They seem to identify it every time it happens.
You've got to log off as me and log in.
I couldn't get on for like 3 days straight and at home for my email, and I was like, this son of a bitch fired me when I had cancer.
No, you're going to
get it now?
No, Tom, you're going to get a press release at about 3:15 this morning.
All right, so
when you'll find
out. We're back here. All right, good. All right, any Patriots news that we have to discuss?
What do we have over the weekend? I don't know if there wasn't really any Patriots news over the weekend. Maybe Roosevelt Colvin signed with the Houston Texans. Yeah. I guess that's
about as close as we can get.
Yeah, that's about as close as we can get. I don't know. We had the transactions we did late last week.
Right.
They were minor moves with some undrafted free agents that got released. Mm-hmm. Tom, you'd be happy to know that Tyson, quote, Dave Thomas making it look easy, DeVree was cut.
That's a shocker.
But that was about it. I don't think there really was any Patriots news over the weekend. Do you remember anything?
Nothing. No?
No.
I mean, some guys are still in town. In fact, I was here yesterday. I had a small contingent from China that we had to meet with. That's why I was dressed in a tie for everyone.
I was wondering what was going on there.
And I actually brought him down into the locker room, into the coach's area, and Ben Watson was there, so we saw him, a couple other players, but not a lot of people around.
No, it's right quiet now. Time. Yeah.
Very
now,
quiet.
I was around the stadium a little bit on Friday, and there were some players working out on the field, two or three guys. And to be honest with you, I don't even know if they were current Patriots. For all I know, they could have been guys the Patriots had in for workouts or something like that. I don't even know, but very few people around the stadium in the past, say, I don't know,
five to seven days.
But we do have some breaking news.
Breaking news.
Provided by Chris Ferreira. Matthew Slater, fifth round pick, was signed this week.
We probably should have mentioned that.
Oh, that's breaking?
I'm glad that Chris said that. No, well, evidently the release came out, so Chris is right to have let us know about that. Mm. That seems like the first of the draft picks is in the fold, and if I were Matthew Slater, I'd have done the same thing.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You want me to do it? Sure.
Yeah.
Here's the sign.
How much do I need to pay you?
Where do I sign?
Right. All right, webradio@patriots.com. The email is back up, so if you want to email in, that is okay. And the phone number is 508-543-7482. So, Tom, while you're away, what did you do to keep busy? Did you just watch TV?
Yeah, kind of. I was telling Paul, like, normally I like to sit around and do nothing, but that's when I have a choice. When you have to do it, it's kind of boring.
Yeah, it's hard to sit around and do nothing when you don't really want to.
Right.
There's nothing on TV in the daytime. Forget about that. You got nothing.
No.
All those movie channels that we pay for, waste. There's never nothing on.
You don't have the Latin channel?
I don't know.
Even that gets boring after a while. I mean, how many times can you do what Dan just said?
Right, right.
Your network is garbage. The NFL network, don't pay for it. It's a waste of freaking money. I mean, how many times are you going to show me NFL Follies? Those things are stupid.
But in all seriousness, how bad can their programming be if... I mean, Tom isn't just the target audience with something like NFL Network. Tom is basically your network, and he's telling you that.
Well, they have to figure something out.
They don't have anything on.
The 7 to 8 show is a good show.
Yep.
You know, that's a good show. But other than that, when it's not draft time or it's not training camp time or combine time, it's tough for them to come up with content. They've got to work hard.
But don't they have all the NFL films that ESPN used to have?
Well, they do.
Well, why don't they ever show any?
They do.
Trust me. I've
seen that top 10 linebacker units of all time about 27 times.
But those get boring, too.
No, I know, but just – I don't – all I kept seeing was NFL Follies. Those things suck. With the stupid voiceover guy who's making jokes
that aren't
funny.
They're all old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, at least on – like, this is a decent idea, I think. On Sundays, they're going through the entire season of last year and putting, like, week 10, the four best games are on every Sunday to get you ready for football season. Like, stuff like that. Like, I'd rather you just show me, like, old games.
Well, I think they are doing some of that. You know, they do show classic games and stuff. But I think they need to – but it costs money, but they need to come up with original content. They need to – you know,
well, and this is the problem ESPN used to be in before they were ESPN.
Right, right.
Absolutely right.
Right.
Absolutely right.
You know what?
But the problem is, whereas ESPN could branch out and find things, The NFL is the NFL. That's all they got.
Mm-hmm. NFL Films did a great series a while back where they would do, I think they call it NFL's Greatest Games, where they would take like an old game, yeah, like Super Bowl III or the Raiders-Colts game, and they would show you every play of that game as if it were, you know, with the commentators from back then. And then after like every quarter, they'd have like some of the players come and talk about that game and what it meant.
They
know,
put some of those on, but again, until you can come up with some fresh stuff, those I love those. Those are great. And Tom always talks about the San Francisco Dallas games of the early 90s. They show those quite frequently on that station too, on NFL Network. I think they do a good job of that. But I think at some point, Tom's right, and it's the same problem ESPN had. At some point, you need to find something that's going to keep your viewers coming back. And reruns, no matter how well done, aren't going to do it. And that's one of my you guys always talk about how good that show is. What is it, the one that you like? Is it Total Access?
Yeah, Total Access from 7 to 8.
I have a problem with the station because generally whenever I'm watching it, I always get the feeling that it's not the first time whatever I'm watching has been on. I always feel like it's a replay of
something. Well, they do replay that throughout the night. The original,
I didn't even know it was on from 7 to 8.
Yeah, 7 to 8 is when it airs the first time. John in L.A. is on the phone. John, how you doing?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
Good. Hey,
John.
Tom, it's good to hear you back.
Thanks.
I have to say, this is a phrase I never thought I'd utter, but I actually thought of you on my wedding night.
Oh, my God.
I got married a week. I
couldn't
got married
get it up?
A week before Gary. Exactly. That's how I got it up, yeah. my wife fell asleep. I guess I was just too awesome. Fell asleep and we were just moved into the new house and there's nothing there, so I'm listening to podcasts and that's when I got the news about your situation. I'm really I'm glad to hear you back.
Thanks.
Congratulations
on getting married.
Did you blog from your wedding, John?
What's that?
Did you blog from your wedding?
I did not blog from my wedding.
Okay.
No.
What do you think about my idea that every wedding should be an individual event? You shouldn't have these things that
I completely agree with you. I mean, my dad is a retired Episcopal priest, and he married us, and what he loved about our ceremony was how we just made it really unique to us with the readings and the songs and whatever.
Right.
So I mean, still sort of in that framework of a service, but I think, you got to make it your own.
Well, congratulations, John.
Absolutely, John.
Thank you.
Poor bastard.
I'm now sort of Italian brethren with you. Italians there.
Nice, really.
To an Italian family. I always thought that thing in whatever it was, Godfather 2 or Goodfellas, where you go around and everyone's giving you envelopes.
Yeah.
I thought that was like a sort of mafia thing.
It is.
It's not. I was like, holy shit, I'm going back to my tape. Oh, excuse me.
You're not allowed to say that.
I realize it. Sorry. Anyway.
So you score a good one? You get some good, nice, fat envelopes?
I got a lot of nice fat envelopes.
That's good. That's good.
The best thing is the only Italian on my side, which was my godfather, gave the most.
Hey, John, let me explain something to you. That's not necessarily a mafia thing, but if you open up those envelopes and there's thousands of dollars in there, it's a mafia thing. So you better check to see who you're related to.
Right.
Yeah, I'll check that out.
That is true.
We didn't quite get there.
That is true.
All right. Well, John, any Patriot stuff you want to talk about, or are you just calling in to say hey?
Well, no, I also wanted to say that I really think the more the season goes along, in fact, the more especially the last podcast I was listening to from you guys, I really think Belichick's done I think the defense is going to be good.
I do, too.
I think even with losing Asante Samuel, I think it's not quite the jump that the offense took last year, but I think it's similar.
I think it's going to be solid. I agree with
you. Well, they've certainly brought in more than they've lost. I mean, I think we can all agree with that. I think Samuel is a big loss. I think he's a good player. I'm not going to be, you know, the Fred Kirsch type and trash the guys as they're gone. But I think they've brought in more than they've lost.
Now,
I think, you know, with Mayo and Crabill and Wheatley out of the draft picks, I think those guys will help. I think with Bryant and, you know, who knows, maybe Tank Williams or Jason Webster, all the other veterans, I think enough of those veteran defensive backs will stay and contribute. Some of them probably will get cut, but some of them will be contributors. I think they've brought in more talent than they've lost.
Now, you know, obviously the wild card there is Harrison and Bruschi are a year older, you know, and they're on the downside of
Richard
their career.
Seymour, I think, is a big key.
Well, I think he could go either way.
Yeah. Does he bounce back and become you know, something like what we remember from 01 to 04, 05?
Yeah. Yeah.
Or does he become the guy that kind of was hurt and ineffective in 06 and 07?
But I agree with John. I think this is a nice mix on paper of youth, of veterans, of speed, of, you know, guys that know their position. I think it's a good mix with a very strong front line. Again, if Seymour can have a good year. And I don't think you're going to see a lot of, you know, blown plays. I think teams will move the ball. I don't think the Patriots are going to be the Chicago Bears. But I think the red zone will be vastly improved, you know, on defense.
I think Vrabel's big, too, because you mentioned the other guys getting older. Vrabel's getting into that age where sometimes guys fall off the mat. You know what I mean? Like you watch a guy and you say, he's not the guy, remember? And I'm not saying that's going to happen. But I'm just saying Vrabel's starting to get up there a little bit too. So I think he has to have another good year because I really think he's an important part of that defense. We always talk about the other guys, but he's so versatile. They don't have another guy that can do what Vrabel does, you know, doing all the different things. So I think as long as he can keep up his play as well, I agree with you that this defense is going to be a lot better than it was last year.
And the other guy, you know, who we thought was going to be really the guy last year that really didn't come on till later because of injury is Adalis Thomas. You know, what kind of guy is he going to be the second year in this system?
Yeah, I think playing on the outside all the time, too, is going
to
help him.
Yeah,
they've needed Vrabel and Thomas to sort of forego the outside at times to stay inside because they needed help on the inside.
Right.
If those two guys can stay there, and that means Hobson, Brewski, Mayo probably will have to maybe say, I will have to stay put on the inside.
Or can stay put.
Or can stay put on the inside. That's going to be huge. If Vrabel can have anywhere near the year he had last year, which was one of his best years, and Thomas can play like he did in the playoffs and in the Super Bowl,
right?
And don't
that's going to be a pretty formidable pass rush.
That unit doesn't have to be great. Because even though the offense isn't going to do what it did last year, more than likely, in terms of the record-setting numbers in 27 categories, it still is going to be a pretty potent group. We know that Brady and Moss is still here, and as long as that's the case, they're going to score. So that defense doesn't have – I mean, they showed it last year. They didn't have to be great last year.
Right, just
but
be
I think,
solid.
I think they'll be better than they were last year,
and you know,
defensively.
They might not break all those records on offense, but an argument can be made that they might might have a better offense on hold this year because
– I don't think that argument can be made.
I think it could because they'll have – if they have a healthy Lawrence Maroney, which they do right now – he picked up steam at the end of last year. He had 400-yard games in his last six.
Mm-hmm.
If he can provide the steady running game that he looked like he was starting to have in the beginning of last year and then at the end of last year.
Well, what you're saying really is they might have a more balanced offense and it might be a little bit more ball control. But if you don't need to be that way,
they might
score on the first down, score on the first down.
Right. I just don't see how you could be. I mean, that's the best offense I've ever seen. I don't see how they can improve.
If Maroney was running the ball, they were scoring 20 points a game.
Right.
When they were just throwing it earlier in the year, they were scoring 60.
Yeah, I mean, that's my point. And I understand what you're saying about the balance on offense. I think that they started the year running the ball better than they went through that stretch there in the middle when they had Morris and Maroney. But the offense, to me, was just otherworldly for the first 3 months of the season.
Oh.
And then when the weather came, I think that...
It was sick. Don't
that affects it.
Let's not forget, we're talking about people screaming that they're running up the score and they're not being fair.
You can't be better than that. I don't think you can be any better than
that. If you look at a team like the Buffalo Bills, they might not be the best team in the world, but look what they did to an offense like the Cowboys, how they really stymied that offense. And they had some good defensive games over last season. The Patriots went in there and made them look like a peewee football team. They didn't even look like an NFL team that day. And that was the kind of offense the Patriots had. They could, on any given Sunday, they could make the Redskins. Look how good the Redskins played defense last year. The Patriots made them look stupid.
Right. All right, well, we got a lot to talk about, a lot of emails coming in, and we'll take a break. We'll be right back.
The New England Revolution are taking on the best teams and the best players in MLS, and you can be there. The Revolution 4-Game Supporters Pack is the ticket to the best matches of the summer. Be there when the Revolution take on Cuauhtemoc Blanco and the Chicago Fire, Juan Pablo Angel and the New York Red Bulls, Ante Razov and Chivas USA, and David Beckham and the Los Angeles Galaxy. It sold out last year. Don't get shut out. Order the 4-Game Supporters Pack to guarantee you're in the building for the best matches of the season. Four packs start at just $64. Order now and get a Revolution Supporters scarf free. Ticket packages and individual game tickets for the entire season are still available. Call the Revolution Ticket Office at 1-877-GET-REVS, Ticketmaster at 617-931-2222, or log on to revolutionsoccer.net for tickets, game information, and everything else New England Revolution.
What a goal! Taylor Twellman!
Pride.
The sellout crowd in Foxborough rises to their feet.
Passion.
Oh my goodness! Michael Parkhurst, are you kidding me?
Revolution.
When you've got a lineman-size hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac Attack sausages, First Down Franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mild and hot Sac Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, First Down Franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine and Associate Grocers of New England and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
Patriot Place, New England's first and only super regional lifestyle and entertainment center, is now open right next to Gillette Stadium in Foxborough, Massachusetts. The home of the New England Patriots and the New England Revolution is now the home of New England's most exciting entertainment and shopping destination, featuring Circuit City, Bed Bath & Beyond, Christmas Tree Shops, Off-Broadway Shoes, Staples, and New England's first Bass Pro Shops. Patriot Place has something for your shopping needs. And coming soon to Patriot Place is the first CBS Scene restaurant and bar, a four-star hotel, showcase live entertainment venue, and the long-awaited hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon. Patriot Place will soon be the home to more than 70 shopping, entertainment, and dining experiences unlike any other in New England. Visit patriot-place.com for more information and enter the grand opening sweepstakes for the opportunity to win a $10,000 Visa gift card for a Patriot Place shopping spree. A once-in-a-lifetime experience every day. At Patriot Place, everyone wins. And now, great moments in PFW in Progress history.
I'll tell you, I was at the beach on Tuesday, and there were a lot of high school girls there.
So you were lying on your stomach drilling for oil all day?
Oh, my God.
Wait a minute.
Girls under 18.
Wait a minute. I'm the one who crossed my line. And I'm the inappropriate one. That might have been your best one ever, Fred.
That's another great moment from PFW in Progress.
All right, back here at PFW in Progress.
That really was tremendous.
That was your best line ever, Fred.
You think so? Best I think ever? So. Really?
Well, because it was perfectly timed. You caught us off guard. None of us had heard it before.
The Jake Steele was pretty good, too, though. I don't know. Jake Steele? I mean, that's pretty good stuff.
Well, anyway, no one stepped up for lunch today, so Paul is taking out the plastic. And Dan is calling in the order from D'Angelo's. I have to tell you, Tom, you missed the Feast of All Feasts. It was like the All Saints Day. It was like the Feast of All Saints. You know those North End festivals that they have? It's food everywhere. Joe from Roslindale walked in with stuff from the Sunset Bar and Grill. And I mean, it was unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Those feasts in the North End were always big for us, like when we were in high school. We would go over to the North End.
Oh, yeah.
It was just an excuse.
I loved it.
Yeah, you know, you were able to drink,
sure,
which was great.
Sure.
And
now
you get like, you know, guys like in these little alleys would have coolers of beer, mm-hmm, just in cans. You'd go up and give them like $2. They'd give you a can of beer.
Just
walk around.
Yeah.
Drinking a Bud. You know, what could be better at like age 15?
Speaking of festivals, July 11th is when we're having the barbecue at my house. I've got the menu
festivals
all set. We're having salmon steaks, some type of flank steak, and barbecue ribs, two types of salads. So Should be good. And we're
It'll be a catered affair?
Yes, it is. And we're using plateware so that we're going green. No paper plates.
Is Lori invited?
Yeah, Lori's invited. Yeah.
Who's coming?
Dan, you can go. July 11th.
You didn't get the invitation?
I haven't told you or Gary yet.
Oh.
But July 11th, Dan. You all set? July 11th.
Maybe we have a soccer game.
It's a Friday. Do you have a soccer game?
No, I'm just kidding.
You might.
Wow, look at him trying to weasel out of your party.
You don't have to go.
How about that?
Hey,
you could just say,
"Go screw yourself."
It's not like if you don't come, people are going to say, "Hey,
where's Dan?"
Dan?
Right. Actually, if he does come, people will be like, "Who the
Who's
hell is
Dan?"
He?
Anybody have a weed whacker?
By the way, and if you do come, you got to put a bathing cap on before you go in my pool with that hair. I'm not cleaning out the filter for 3 days. All right.
People are going to think you shaved your back in the pool, for God's sake.
No, I'm going to shave my back prior to the...
We discussed that with his
wife.
Is
that hair gel?
Right. The man groomer?
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
Is she not happy with that?
She just shakes her head.
She's mortified. All right. Webradio at patriots.com is the email address, 508-543-7482. We didn't have a lot of interaction with Gary because, like I said, he put us way off in the corner.
He came, well, I think he had already left when he came over and talked to us.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Oh, so he knew I left?
Yeah.
That's when he came over.
All right. Well, what are you?
They said, where's Fred? He said, where's Fred? I said, oh, he left about 2 hours ago.
You couldn't say I was in the bathroom?
No. I said, he didn't say, where's Fred? I'm just kidding.
Well, I noticed that Ordway and Smirlis left.
They left immediately.
They left, you know, very early, you know. So, hey, what are you going to do?
Yeah, right after the toast, they were gone.
Yep. Did they even stay and eat?
I think they did, yeah.
Did they?
I don't think Glenn's missed
that. Is that a rhetorical question?
No. All right. Let's see. Anything else? Things going on here at the stadium? It's pretty quiet. A lot of corporate events, though. People still renting out the stadium and doing their events. So there's a lot of activity here. Just none of it's football.
A lot of construction still going on.
Construction's still going on. Things are on schedule, though. The Hall of Patriot Place and the CBS scene will be open up. Mid to late August.
Are you going to have an office in the Hall of Fame?
No.
Well, you do so much work for them. I didn't know if they were going to give
it's
you
It's a any. Good point that he brings up.
I'm just going to have one of those speakers, you know, that you press the button. You can go, Brian!
Is it going to be like on the Flintstones?
Where Lockbox.
You say something, and then there's a little bird in there, and it flies out, and it flies to Brian's office, and it's a...
Well, that'll be Brent.
Okay, there you go. Why, is Brent going to stay here?
No, Brent's going to be down in the museum, too.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But they have very small offices.
Yeah, Brian's not happy.
Oh.
Not happy.
The ones we have are pretty small.
Well,
yeah, but these are about half the size.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Brian Bolello from retail took all the space for the pro shop.
Ah.
So.
Well, got to move merchandise, though.
Yeah. But I think the good thing is, though, I think they have a big window that looks right out on the plaza. So that's nice.
So they got that going for
them. They got offices with windows.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Windows are a premium here at the stadium.
Yeah, that's on the other side of admin. We don't have any windows on our side.
No. I mean, sometimes I don't even see the light of day all day. I walk out, and it's like completely different weather than when I walked in. It's like, wow. You know, and I'm rubbing my eyes because the sun is so bright.
Fred Kirsch on coach's hours over here.
Yeah. All right. What else, guys, before we get to emails? Anything? Anything you want to talk about? Anything on your mind? How was your weekend, Eric? I didn't get to see you.
It was all right.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Any news?
Bad.
Anything
How
you
come
want
you
to
didn't
talk
see
about?
Relax. Oh, I forgot.
No. You still got the same girlfriend?
There's a moratorium on that issue.
He doesn't want to talk about it.
I don't know what moratorium means.
Are you eating Fig Newtons?
He is.
I just
Fig
asked.
Fig Newtons, the one.
I just asked if you were still with
your. I love Fig Newtons.
Aren't they?
Yep.
I just asked if you were still with your girlfriend. I didn't ask if you were when the wedding date was.
He's not talking.
Sorry. No. I'm not talking about it.
Judging from his...
You can't tell me if you're still with your girlfriend?
I don't want to talk
judging
about it
from his
I...
sudden silence, Tom, I'm going to say no. Something happened. I think he won one too many Scrabble
Something
games.
Happened? You can just
no,
tell
No, I'm not talking about it.
We wouldn't be shocked. If
All of a sudden, like, earlier last week, he decided he wasn't talking about
no,
anything
No, because
anymore.
I said too much the first time around, and I don't want
to
make that mistake.
Yeah, but now everybody wants to know.
I was just trying to be nice, asking you if you're still with her. The next... You're giving me the evil eye.
He's got no use for us.
All right.
I don't care if you're still with her or not.
Ask me if I'm still with my wife.
Are you still with your wife?
Yes.
Honey? I knew that.
Very
because
happily.
I
In fact,
was
yesterday was
Saturday.
Our anniversary.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
The 16th.
Right.
That's right.
How many years?
Eight. Seven.
What
Seven.
A saint she is.
7 years.
Still stunned.
See, I can say it. I have no problem saying it.
You're in a different situation, Fred.
Well, you know, a little bit, but still.
Did you beat her in Scrabble like three times in a row?
No.
How much food do you have there? You keep pulling stuff out of that bag like it's some magician's bag.
Remember, it's like Shane. Remember Shane used to just reach in and pull out a snack pack of different kind?
Oh, I know.
Shane's lunches could go on for hours.
Yeah. You got a lot of stuff in there, Eric.
And no more than usual,
is
Fred.
Is this a dessert?
No.
Is that a pink apple?
It's an apple. No.
Okay. All right. All right, let's get to some emails. Webradio at patriots.com. As everyone knows, that PFW in Progress is going strong, done by James Cuff in James Cuff Media. And he said,
outstanding job.
He writes in with some news. The latest vote results are in, and this week's vote being should Eric join John Rook on Patriots Playbook. 58% voted yes and 42% voted no. This week's vote is how many regular season games will the Patriots continue to go undefeated? So what's the record there, undefeated regular season games? Is it 19? What's that record? I know the Patriots have it.
The Patriots record? I don't
I think
know.
It's 21. 21,
right? Yeah.
I thought that was overall 21
regular
games.
Season winning streak, I think, is 21, isn't it?
Okay, I thought that was just an overall winning streak, including
the
playoffs.
You know, I get confused.
Anyway, so that's the vote up there on PFW in Progress. Stripper's idea of buying Andy a Mendenhall jersey has taken off with several people contributing to the fund. We almost have enough now to I'll be sending it soon, and if we get any extra cash, we're going to buy lunch courtesy of pfwinprogress.com. Now, I feel bad about that.
Mendenhall is ridiculous.
First of all, I don't think that people should be putting in money to buy Big Head.
Can you believe that? I'm absolutely
stunned. Yeah, I'm embarrassed about that. I'd rather have them give the money to charity.
But not just a jersey. They're buying another team's jersey.
Right.
It's a Steeler jersey.
I'm stunned. You won't think they'll buy a bobblehead, but they'll buy Andy a Pittsburgh Steelers jersey.
But it's 20 people, don't
I mean, I could see if they got, like, an Illinois Mendenhall jersey.
We think 20 people will buy bobbleheads. We're just not sure that we're going to get, like, 1,000 people to buy
bobbleheads. This is all I'm going to tell you. Whether I'm here or not in 5 years, when Tom Brady leaves, this show's never going to be the same because it's never going to be as good ever again.
Right.
Ever.
We're convinced, though, that the reason why you want us to do bobbleheads is because once we have your likeness, we can't fire you, or else we'll have all this inventory that we can't do anything with.
You came up with a good idea, though, with the pre-ordering. That's a fair.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Okay. Well, we'll see. I mean, I feel
it doesn't necessarily. You see,
I feel a little embarrassed about this whole thing, about the kind of attention we're getting. But bobbleheads of our likenesses, I don't know.
But you're focused on the bobbleheads. It doesn't necessarily have to be bobbleheads. I'm not fixated on bobbleheads.
We just gotta stick with the t-shirts.
Well, we're gonna make t-shirts,
right?
Yeah.
By the way, what's going on with that?
Why do you ask us every week? You're the boss. You're in charge. Get to the bottom.
All
of
I
it.
Need is the design, and I'll send it over to Ken Flanders, and we'll order them.
You got to talk to your design team.
What's this order from?
I thought the design was done. No?
It is. Well, you approved it.
Well, then where is it? I need the file. I need to give it to the
Serrano's got the
maker.
Discs.
When's the retirement party?
Unbelievable. I like to know how Andy feels that his boy was wanted to quit football. He had to get talked out of it by his brother.
Right.
Mendenhall. Did you read that?
Now, that might
item?
Be why he dropped his
maybe. Yeah. You might be right.
I just can't believe they're buying Andy a
maybe
jersey.
Maybe the Patriots took him off the board because football's not important to him.
Right.
By the way, I need a Marion Barber jersey. That's Marion Barber.
Now, James says the whole thing about giving money for the jersey has developed into the idea of a lunch fund. So the website visitors can buy you lunch on a regular basis. It will help people from outside the U.S. who don't want to email their credit card details. And, Fred, if you want me to set up a restaurant section on the site, email me the details of what you want, and I'll sort it out. So
get on that, Fred.
That's easy enough. Just a listing. As restaurants contribute to the show, we'll list their restaurant name, address. If they have a website, we'll put the link up, that sort of thing. I did notice that James had a nice facade picture of the
Sunset
Bar and Grill up on the homepage, which was very nice. So. I do recommend it. Anyone that is visiting Boston or lives there now, check that place out. The food is amazing. It's a great
it's a good place.
Oh, that reminds me, in between Gary's ceremony and his reception, since there were like 10 hours, I went to an old haunt in Watertown called
Buff's Pub.
Buff's Pub. Is it in Watertown or Newton?
I believe it's Watertown. Yeah, it's right on that line.
Yeah, Buff's Pub, which... Those wings are awesome.
Very good buffalo wings.
My,
I used
my
to go
mouth
there
is
as well.
Watering right now just thinking about
it. Did you
it.
Have some?
Oh, yeah. We went, my wife and I and Jen Farron and the doctor, Dvorkin and his wife. I didn't know he was married. Did you know
either.
That Dvorkin
I didn't
was
know he was married.
Yeah.
I'm actually, stunned.
He's actually nice. I, you know.
She's not miserable like him.
Dan's laughing.
I think that's because the Super Bowl ring he wears around all the time outshadows his actual wedding ring. So
right.
There's no, you know, couldn't really tell that he had one.
So we went and we had wings in between. So by the time I got to the reception, I really wasn't that hungry.
And that's why he left 5 minutes later.
But those wings were, oh.
After he did his set with the Irish Quartet.
If anyone from Buff's Pub is listening and you want to send us wings, we'll gladly accept them. Those are probably among the best wings in Boston.
I think that was the only thing missing from Joe and Roslindale's spread last week was a little bit of chicken wings.
Wings.
We could have used
some buffalo
believe
wings.
Me,
but
there was oh, my God.
That was above and beyond the Call of Duty, that spread.
Let's see. Anthony writes in from UMaine. Paul, it sounds like you're never going to end up with tickets to a Seas game. What's the deal? And can you guys share any thoughts about the NBA Finals and the Celtics?
I think, sadly, the email is correct. I don't think I'm going to have
nothing.
Not going tonight, huh?
I haven't kissed the right buttocks to get the tickets that I was hoping for. But I do think the Celtics are going to end it tonight. I think that if
they're
it
the
weren't
team.
For injuries sure. In general, the series would be long since over. I think the Celtics are a clear-cut superior team than the Lakers. I think they have a better starting five. I think they have a better bench. They have a better inside game. They have a better out. I think
right. The only time they have a breakdown is when they don't hustle 100% on defense.
Yeah, I mean they've opened the last two games very lax on defense, and they've built themselves big deficits on the road. And in both times, they tightened up defensively and immediately got back in the game, and one of them they were able to overcome it and win. The other one, they got the lead, but then they couldn't hold on to it. So
right. Tonight going to be the opposite? They're going to jump out to the lead?
I don't think tonight they ever –
I think they're going to win handily tonight.
Yeah, I kind of agree with Fred. I think they're going to – might be like a fairly even first half, you know, within five, plus or minus five either way. And then they slowly pull away in the third quarter as they have in most games. They've enjoyed a big edge in the third quarter. The only game the Lakers outscored the Celtics was game five in the third quarter. And then I think they're just coasting home in the fourth quarter with a, you know, 10-12 point win. Kind of like game one. I think it's going to be a comfortable win.
What do you think, if they do win, what do you think Boston, the city, is going to be like?
Well, I'm going to turn over a car.
I would like to think that none of that nonsense will go on.
Yeah.
You know, but who knows?
It will. It's the new thing now. Every time your team wins something, you've got to turn a car
over. The big
over.
Thing is the colleges aren't in session.
Right.
And that's generally where most of the trouble happens is down around BU and Northeastern and all the other countless schools in Boston. That seems to be where all the trouble is. So hopefully that won't happen this time.
I'll tell you, the Lakers have two problems. One, they don't play any defense at all. I'm just stunned that a team that I don't watch the NBA that closely during the regular season, but I'm stunned that a team in the finals under Phil Jackson, there's just that many wide open shooters. And two, and this is something I have yet to understand, when the Celtics come back on them or when they need a bucket, why doesn't Kobe Bryant have the ball at the top of the key like Michael Jordan used to do and have the offense go through him? The other night I counted 7 possessions where Kobe never touched the ball when Boston was coming back. Listen, that's it, baby. It's the finals. Kobe's got to be your man. He's got to touch that. You know, they got these stiffs taking 3-point shots left and right. I just don't get it.
Yeah. And what is it about them? They have all these European players on that team.
And I think that, I think that's part of it.
NBA,
I think that's part of them being soft. Is that a lot of the European players, and this is big time stereotype, and I'll be guilty of it,
but it's true.
They don't play as physically, and they don't play as tough on defense. They're fundamentally sound. A lot of them can shoot the ball. Redmanovic and Vucic, whatever is how you pronounce his name. I mean, they can shoot the ball when they're open, but. I mean, you watch Vujicic try to guard Ray Allen at the end of Game 4, and that was high comedy. Garnett came up to the top to try to set a pick for him, and Ray Allen just said, "No problem, KG. Just get away. I just want this guy one-on-one." And he methodically broke him down off the dribble and got all the way to the basket. Not only he beats his guy, but Gasol doesn't come over to help out. There's no one there. They can't handle the pick and roll, as Tom alluded to. They can shoot the ball, and they can be fairly athletic, but for whatever reason, these European players come to the United States, and they don't really have any interest in getting their nose dirty and playing physically at all, and I think that's one of the major differences in these two teams. Mm-hmm. You could say that some of those players are maybe even more talented, you know, for the pure skill of shooting a basketball, but who would you rather have, James Posey or Sasha Vujacic coming off the bench?
It's pretty
amazing. I'll take James Posey. Yeah, he might not be able to go 9-for-10 the way Sasha did in Game 3, but I'll take Posey any day of the week.
It's pretty amazing. Patriots get to the Super Bowl, Red Sox win it, Celtics look like they've got it wrapped up, and Revolution are in first place in the MLS. It's amazing what Boston's doing.
Hey, you know, we joke and we use them as a punchline, but even the Bruins gave us a little something to get excited about, even if for just one game. I mean, they lost in the first round, but they haven't made the playoffs in the last couple of years, and they gave us even something to be excited about. It's been a pretty good run for the Boston sports teams.
Let's see. James in Roanoke Rapids, North Carolina. I have a general team question. If it's a given that the offense should be as productive as last season, then do you think the defense as a whole will be better or worse than last year, and where do you see its weaknesses? Well, we talked about that earlier. I think we're all generally believing that it's probably going to be better than last year.
Think so. Mm-hmm. I think it'll be better. I think
your only question mark, really, you know, corner maybe?
Yeah,
I'm not, plays out.
You know, if Ellis Hobbs proves to be the best cornerback on this team, I would say the cornerback is a bit of a weakness.
Okay.
But yeah. I really don't think it's going to matter that much.
Yep. You know, I think the Colts will still give them a problem, but they're going to give everybody a problem. You know, those really good offensive teams, I think in this league, have an advantage because of the depth. You know, it's just hard to be so deep on defense.
Usually when the Colts don't score, it's because of themselves.
You're right.
Like that Chargers game where they just kept
dominating.
The you're right, Fred. It's hard for any team to really slow down the Colts unless they help them along.
Right.
And I'm wondering, you know, you mentioned the Colts on offense. Who has a Colts-like defense in today's NFL? Like, you know, the Colts offense is dominant. The Patriots' offense is dominant. Who has the correlating defense?
Nobody.
That's that good.
Nobody.
I don't think anybody.
It used to be the Ravens. You could.
Yeah.
Say. It used to be the.
Yeah. They were probably the last
one. At times. Yep.
Because that would be the
Tampa
contrast.
Bay had one just before them.
Just before them.
Yep.
That would be the contrast to me, is who has a defense good enough to have okay offense but a great defense, and they're going to keep them in every game. I don't think anybody does.
Not now. Nope.
And the key that's why I think the Patriots are in such a great position.
The key to New England's defense,
they're going
to
score,
is going to be their front seven getting more of a pass rush than they've had in the last few years.
Yep.
That'll help out the corners, too.
Well, that front three or four when Jarvis screens, that they really do have to, you know, that's the key. They've invested high draft picks in that. You know, they have to be
the
cornerstone
fine.
Of that defense.
I think I don't have any concerns whatsoever about them. I really don't. I think that's still the strength of the team. I think they're fine. I think as long as they get decent play from the secondary, which they did not get at times last year, decent play from the secondary, they'll be fine.
Let's see. Jason and Chiba writes in, I thought this would be a nice game for the summer, playable by both emailers and host. Have you had, or can you recall, a PFW member moment in your life, as in an Eric moment or a Tom moment? Take this, for example, a story from the not-so-distant past. The story really starts the night before, but regardless of what exactly it was I ate, I had my first can of coffee just before I left the house. About midway to the meeting, when I changed trains, I stopped in a Starbucks, yes, they have those here in Japan, for a second helping, and felt something stirring in my stomach. 10 minutes into my next train ride, I was having a full-on Andy moment, turning red, huffing and squeezing, and hoping and praying that I wouldn't ruin my nice suit with the 4 pounds of crap that I had to let loose. It went on and on throughout the train ride, then after, searching for the office I was headed to. Lost in a maze of confusion, apprehension, and lower abdominal pain, I finally made my way to the site of my interview, found a John, and, in true Andy fashion, spent 20 minutes on the throne giggling to myself. So, PFW listeners, what are your cast member moments? Maybe if we're lucky, we can fend off some of the duller shows that are coming in the next month and a half or so. Wow, Jason just has no...
Jason is angry
all the time, it seems like. Every time he writes in...
He has
in,
no faith that we're going to be able to deliver anything worth listening to.
Maybe he should leave Japan. Maybe that's part of the problem.
It's a good show. You know, if someone wants to play that game, that's fine. You know.
I don't know if I don't really know what you're... What are you really
it's
looking for?
It's not for
here?
Us. It's for other people.
Oh, okay.
They have a moment like, you know... I don't know, Paul. It would be a moment where you were with people, no matter what they said, you disagreed. Something like that.
Or if you made up an imaginary Paul's girlfriend.
Just, I don't get that either.
Paul's just
simmer down.
I see what you did there.
Yeah. Okay.
Hey, Todd Archer on ESPN, former Boston Globe scribe.
Oh, is that right? Yeah, that name sounds
He
familiar.
Looks like Dave Crisoli.
He
little
does.
Bit. Little bit.
He does. Man. Let's see. Alex writes in, hope Tom's feeling better. Was that sound we heard last Thursday, the breakup of Andy and Lori? Have they made up yet?
What's
and
going on now?
And why so many jokes about Lori's breasts? Is she really that buxom?
Well, Andy actually thinks the opposite.
Really?
Yeah. Were they on here with their
oh, yeah.
just
going
awful?
Back and oh, yeah. forth.
It's sickening. It's
back
sickening.
And forth.
The caddy, you know.
Well, we had so much food, we called down from upstairs for people to, you know, come down and eat.
You do join Dick for a little while.
Fred, now...
Who do you think was the first one down?
Chris Ferreira.
Yeah, there you go. Give the man a prize.
You've been around the office. Have you seen any other person interact with Lori in the manner that Andy does?
No.
Aside from my son on Friday, I was a little worried about my son.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
He took to her?
I think he was a little sweet on Lori.
He took a shine to her?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I know what I'd like to know a little bit more about. I was home listening to a show where Fred mentioned that everyone in the office complains about Andy.
They do.
What do they complain about?
I'm constantly saying, well, you don't really know him. You know, that's you know, I spend
it's
my
like
whole
fast
day
times at Ridgemont High.
Right.
When they make fun of Damone, and they do that a lot.
Yeah.
Ah, you don't really know him.
Also,
this is what you guys always do. You change my argument and put words in my mouth.
Alex also says, what's your best non-playoff Patriots game? His is the 2003 Monday Nighter at Denver.
That was a great game.
And worst non-playoff Patriots game. His was the 0-6 shutout against Miami. What was that like
21-0.
21-0. That was frustrating.
My favorite one was an overtime game in the when Herschel Walker ran for a touchdown when Tom Ramsey was the quarterback for the Patriots.
I remember that game.
Yeah.
That was here at Gillette, right?
Yep. Yeah.
It's like a Gillette, 70, Foxborough.
It's like a 75-yard touchdown.
Yeah, I've had a lot of worse games. That Titans game was just ridiculous.
Or
the one in Tennessee.
And there was another good one at Texas Stadium where Drew Bledsoe threw like four picks and the Cowboys won 12-6.
That's the one where Vinatieri ran
down
Herschel
Walker.
It was three picks.
And the Cowboys won the division.
How about that Charger game here in Foxborough a couple of years ago? That 41-17.
That was a bad. Oh, that was an awful game. Yeah,
that was my first home game.
The Monty Beisel game, I like to call it, because he got as much face time as Ladainian Tomlinson.
Eric, that's the first her home game I worked, and it was the game that ended the winning streak.
The home winning streak.
Yeah, right. That's right.
That and Pittsburgh the silver jerseys.
Game, the Pittsburgh game at home in Pittsburgh.
The Halloween game
where Matt Light broke his leg.
Yeah,
that was an awful game.
I think that was Halloween, right?
Yeah.
No, they won that game, though.
Yeah, Vinatieri.
That was the week before that San Diego
Yeah,
game.
That was my first game where Vinatieri
okay, where's
hit
the one where they were in Pittsburgh? They just got clobbered. It was like 41.
That was the Halloween game.
That was the Halloween
game. All right, the Halloween game was awful.
That broke the other winning streak.
Right.
Whatever they win?
Before 14, Belichick. You know,
20-game winning streak that they have? They went 14 in a row to close that. They won 12 in a row. They were 2-2, right?
Paul,
I think they were 2-2 in 03.
I don't remember these things.
I think they were 2-2 in 03, and then they won their last 12. And then the next year they won the first six.
Yes,
so
right
that's 18
that.
In a row they won.
Yep.
Let's see. Louie from Tampa.
Louie.
Hello, Eric, Paul, Fred, and ailing Tom. Kudos to James in Wales. That PFW page is a piece of work, although I agree that we need a before and after picture of Paul because he does look trimmer. In your opinion,
compared to what?
Boy, oh boy, I'll tell you, Andy Hart. This is why Andy Hart deserves to die.
Right.
That's why he deserves to die. What he's done to my reputation is just unforgivable.
In your opinion, what was the worst season the Patriots have endured? I would lean toward the 1-15.
Rod Russ.
Do you have any other candidates?
The Rod Russ season. Yeah, that was the 1-15, right?
That was just awful. I couldn't even watch the games.
There's nothing worse than that. I mean, the Cowboys went 1-15 too.
But at least Tom, that 1-15 team, you may not have felt it at the time, but you had Aikman was young.
There was
Jimmy Johnson was
in,
the new guy coming in.
Michael
Irvin. Like 93, the Patriots in 93 went 5-11. They were 1-11 at one time. They won their last four games. I watched every game with unbelievable, hopeful enthusiasm.
That was
every
the
Parcells
game. Season. Right?
They lost 11 in a row, or whatever, you know, 10 out of 11, 11 out of 12. They had no hope. They weren't very good. But that was Parcells' first year, Bledsoe's first year.
You could see.
Good things were going to come.
Yep.
You know, the 1-15 team had nothing.
No.
They had the worst coach that you could ever imagine.
Yeah.
They had an absolutely drop-dead, embarrassing scandal off the field with the Lisa Olsen thing. Mm-hmm. There was nothing you could hang your hat on with that season. And that's why I think, rightly so, that team won that USA Today poll as the worst NFL team of all time, beating the 0-14 76
Bucks.
And I think they deserve to, because that team was dreadful.
You know, and I had season tickets, and one of the embarrassing things, that was the game where I think that they retired Hanna's number, or they honored John Hanna.
In 1990 they did
that? Yeah, they honored John Hanna at halftime, and it was right after the Lisa Olsen thing. I mean, the week after that happened. So here's John Hanna out in the field, and they're trying to honor him. Meanwhile, in the stands, they've got one of those blow-up dolls with a hot dog in her mouth with Lisa written over it, and they're passing her around like a beach ball. And it was just embarrassing because nobody was paying attention. Here's one of the greatest Patriots ever. They're trying to honor him, and the stands are just full of a bunch of knuckleheads.
But, and I just think that shows how uneducated fans can be sometimes. Like, why is she wrong? You know what I mean? Like,
she wanted it.
Yeah, like, give me a break. You don't think a football player can be a scumbag? It doesn't mean that you have to hate the whole team, but I just don't understand that kind of thinking.
You know what's funny about that whole era was back when they were 1-15, the one team they beat was the Colts. And that was in the era when no matter what was happening with the Patriots, they always beat
the
Colts.
And the Colts were the second worst team, back then.
Right. And isn't it funny how, you know, a decade and a half later,
there's nothing worse than when you turn the game on every week and you have no hope of winning.
Yes.
Like when your teams are that bad where you just, if you win, it's got to be by some kind of miracle of life. And
some of those Hugh Millen games were like that. You turn it on and you know that he just wasn't going to move the ball.
Well, that was like the first year with McPherson.
Yeah.
When Hugh Millen was the quarterback. At least they had that kind of young, unknown thing to him. And remember, I think they went 6-10 that first year. So they weren't good. Eric's right. I mean, you knew you had no hope of making the playoffs or anything like that. But they had a couple of, like, really magical finishes that year where, you know, you didn't know if they were going to win or lose, but somehow they were going to have the ball at the end and they were going to be driving. Sometimes they scored. Sometimes he ran. Remember the game against Denver here? They were down.
Yeah.
They were down 9-6, and they were, like, inside the 20. With like 20 seconds left and no timeouts, he drops back and he runs. And he got tackled. That's how the game ended. They're down three points.
Right.
And all they needed was a field goal to tie. He runs and scrambles. But, you know, they just weren't very good. Then they went 2-14 the second year.
The most exciting part about those two seasons was those games where they did kind of have it close at the end. And McPherson used to go crazy on the sidelines. And they'd always cut to a shot of him.
That means he can't
like
coach.
Pumping his fist and getting. Right. I mean, that was the funniest thing
he
about
He was just
that.
One of those hell of a nice guys that.
Right.
Wade Phillips.
Yeah.
Couldn't.
Those guys on the sidelines that act like that, they can't coach.
I had season tickets, and we had four tickets, and there were like kind of five of us. So every game, one guy would sit it out. By the end of the season, we were arguing, no, it's my turn to sit out. Oh, it's just awful.
That was a bad, bad team. And remember the last game of that year, right here at Foxborough, they played the Giants, who went on to win the Super Bowl.
Yep.
And it was 13-10, they're losing at the end. Patriots are driving, John Stevens running right down their throat. I remember the game was the only game, it was the only home game of that year that was on TV.
Yeah.
And that was because it was a sellout, because
it was the
50,000 Giants fans here. And John Stevens just running it right down their throats. They get down inside like the 20, and they ran out of time. They couldn't score.
Get the field goal.
So Starosky comes out to kick a field goal, and he misses it. They're just like typified the whole season.
Let's see. Reed writes in, "Hey, guys, this is my first time emailing the show. I'm 15 years old from the Cape. I don't get any ideas, Eric. But unlike Forrest from Tennessee, my voice doesn't sound like an 11-year-old girl. Anyway, I'm on my summer break now, and I'm looking to contribute to the show, but first I have some questions. Question one, do you see a contract extension for Vince Wilfork? He is one of, if not the best defensive tackles in the league. Also, Vince is my favorite player, and that is all that really matters.
I do.
Eventually, yeah. Absolutely.
I do. I see that at some – maybe at some time –
during the season, maybe?
Or either that, you know, at the end of training camp or in that area, or maybe even after the season starts. But I do see that in the future.
Question two, how many TDs will Tom throw this year? My guess is between 39 to 42, which might be a little high, but I see Moss having a great year again. Thanks for taking my email, unless you don't get this, so this would have been a total waste of time. Sorry for the crappy spelling and grammar. I got a D in English.
I'll say
35.
I'll say between 30 and 35 touchdowns for Brady.
Right.
What do you got, Tom?
35 is what I was thinking.
How many touchdowns did the running game end up with Maroney, Morris, total, last year?
Altogether, they probably had around 15, right? 15.
Most of them came in the end there.
You know, don't forget, like, Echol had, Evans, you know, right. Evans gets a few.
Right.
Morris had probably had two or three.
Well, I think this year Maroney
probably had, like, six.
Yeah, I think Maroney will have at least 10 touchdowns this year.
That's, as long as he stays healthy.
That's what I thought last year.
Well,
and then they wouldn't give him the ball on the goal line. Right. They kept bringing Heath Evans in so he could get stopped at the one.
Right. Well, you know, Maroney's got to earn those. They finally started to at the end of the year, you know.
What does that mean? He's got to earn them.
I think a lot of that
goes
on.
Aren't they trying to get in the end zone?
I think they know they will, and it's just a matter of who do we want to give this to.
You really honestly think that?
I think sometimes that is true. Yep.
Well, I think they should be shot.
Just so you know, I'm not taking the bait on this one.
let's see. Who is this? Sam? Oh, Sean from Edmonton, Alberta. The more I think about the failure of the offense to produce in the Super Bowl, the less surprised I am. It seems like, though, through every round of the playoffs, the offense took a step back. Don't get me wrong. I thought they played really well against Jacksonville, but they were definitely lacking in the big play department that had been so strong throughout the regular season. I know that was the Jags' game plan, but during the regular season, defenses knew the big plays were coming, and they worked anyway. Then, against the Chargers, the offense struggled a lot with interceptions and stalled drives. We don't even need to talk about the game about with the Giants. So my question is, what happened? I don't really think it was all game planning by the other teams. Honestly, I think Moss wore down physically, and he just wasn't quite the same game-breaking player that he was throughout the regular season. I know the offensive line play was a big issue in the last game, but I think if Moss was torching the secondary like his normal self, the Giants might have had to call off the dogs a little bit. Is there any chance the coaching staff agrees with me and decides to monitor his snaps a little more closely this year to keep his legs fresh for the playoffs? So what do you think? Was the lack of production late in the season by the offense having to do with Moss getting worn down?
I didn't see that at all.
I think it had more to do with just defenses doing different things, and I don't think Brady was healthy in the Super Bowl. We had the one play there where Moss was wide open for a touchdown that, you know, Andy said he'd hit that 99 out of 100 times, and I just think there were different factors. I watched that game over on the NFL Network, and when you watch it over, you can really see from the first snap there was one team there that really wanted it and one team that was just there. Yeah. And as Paul says, the only reason that it was even close was because the Patriots were vastly more talented.
Right. Yeah, there was so much better that they were able to stay in the game. But I think if those were two even teams and one of them played that much better than the other, it wouldn't have been a close
game.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, you know, they were visibly tighter than I'd ever seen them all season in that Super Bowl.
Strange.
They were.
Strange, because if there's one team that you would say, oh, they don't let the moment get to them.
Yeah.
It's the Patriots.
And you know what? That just showed that how human they are. People started to forget, you know, they were putting up all these points, breaking all these records. But, Tom, I don't remember if it was you or Andy or maybe Paul. One of us at the Super Bowl said, I think it was after Media Day, you know what? The Giants just look really loose.
Yeah, I had said that to you at the Giants Media Day. I mean, that's just an you know, I don't know. I've never been to a media day before.
But it turned out to be that way on game day.
Yeah.
They were the much looser team. you know, the records, the run at perfection, I think it got to them mentally. Patriots weren't there.
There was a feeling, just by chance, I had been in the locker room with the Giants after the Patriots game in the regular season, and I thought there was just a weird feeling in that locker room coming after a loss. It was like they had just beaten the Patriots.
Yeah.
But I think they had gained so much confidence from playing that game. I really believe if they don't play that game, they wouldn't have won the Super Bowl.
But here's my, as far as the Giants go, this season will be a definite down year for them. They won't even come close to what they did last year.
Well, they made the playoffs as a wild card.
Yeah. I mean, everybody knows they were a 10-6 team. They weren't a great team last year. They got hot at the right time.
They were 14-0 down to the Bills away from not making the playoffs.
Right. Make the call now. Do they make the playoffs? Yes or no? I agree with you.
We're going to take a break because lunch is here. We'll be right back.
The New England Revolution are taking on the best teams and the best players in MLS, and you can be there. The Revolution 4-Game Supporters Pack is the ticket to the best matches of the summer. Be there when the Revolution take on Cuauhtemoc Blanco and the Chicago Fire, Juan Pablo Angel and the New York Red Bulls, Ante Razov and Chivas USA, and David Beckham and the Los Angeles Galaxy. It sold out last year. Don't get shut out. Order the 4-Game Supporters Pack to guarantee you're in the building for the best matches of the season. 4-packs start at just $64. Order now and get a Revolution Supporters scarf free. Ticket packages and individual game tickets for the entire season are still available. Call the Revolution Ticket Office at 1-877-GET-REVS. Ticketmaster at 617-931-2222. Or log on to RevolutionSoccer.net for tickets, game information, and everything else New England Revolution.
What a goal! Taylor Twellman!
Pride.
The sellout crowd in Foxborough rises to their feet.
Passion.
Oh my goodness! Michael Parkhurst! Are you kidding me?
Revolution. When you've got a lineman-size hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac Attack sausages, First Down Franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mild and hot Sac Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, First Down Franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine and Associate Grocers of New England and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday. Patriot Place, New England's first and only super regional lifestyle and entertainment center, is now open right next to Gillette Stadium in Foxborough, Massachusetts. The home of the New England Patriots and the New England Revolution is now the home of New England's most exciting entertainment and shopping destination, featuring Circuit City, Bed Bath & Beyond, Christmas tree shops, Off-Broadway shoes, Staples, and New England's first Bass Pro Shops. Patriot Place has something for your shopping needs. And coming soon to Patriot Place is the first CBS Scene restaurant and bar, a four-star hotel, showcase live entertainment venue, and a long-awaited hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon. Patriot Place will soon be the home to more than 70 shopping, entertainment, and dining experiences unlike any other in New England. Visit patriot-place.com for more information and enter the grand opening sweepstakes for the opportunity to win a $10,000 Visa gift card for a Patriot Place shopping spree. A once-in-a-lifetime experience every day. At Patriot Place, everyone wins.
New message, Wednesday, May 28th, 11:54 a.m.
Hey, Gary. It's Rob, man. How you doing? So, listen, I saw that video online of, the virtual tour of the hall. How come I'm not voicing that? Like, what's the deal? You know, it's like, you know, I'm good enough to voice, you know, the Patriots Football Weekly, but not that. And who's doing it, man? It sounds like the biggest computer geek. Come on, man. Give me a call. Thanks. Bye.
The Hall at Patriot Place will offer New England Patriots fans one of the most dynamic sports museums in the country, as well as the home to the Patriots Hall of Fame. It's scheduled to open in the fall of 2008 as part of the Patriot Place development at Gillette Stadium. For more information on the hall at Patriot Place and the ongoing Patriot Place development, visit patriot-place.com and sign up to receive regular emailed updates on its progress, along with a chance to win a $10,000 shopping spree.
You know, it's funny because that little piece that Dan just played, Rob Schuler, who left that voice message, he was
the guy at the wedding, right?
Yeah. So I said to him, I go, Rob, that was really funny, that thing, that bit that you did with Gary about the voiceover, and kind of looked at me and goes, oh, yeah, good. I got a feeling that was for real.
I think it was for real, Fred. I don't think it was a bit. No.
Really?
Yes.
I thought it was a bit.
I thought it was a bit.
But I agree with Fred. It was unclear as to whether or not he thought it was really funny when Fred asked him.
To ask Gary, hey, did he really call up and complaining?
Yeah, you would have been able to do that had you stuck around long enough to actually talk to Gary.
Well, not where we were in Siberia. I mean, Gary had to walk 10 miles just to say hello. I don't think, you know, I wasn't planning on seeing him anyway. You know?
That sounded real to me. I didn't think it was a bit.
I thought it was a bit, but maybe
I thought it was a joke.
It sounded as real as when you called and wanted to know what Doug from Blackstone looked like.
But I think he was intentionally. I mean, let's assume it was a bit. He's intentionally making it sound serious, don't you think?
Sure. Yeah.
But if you saw his face when Fred made that comment, now it's in question.
If I was the voiceover guy for the Patriots and I heard that, I'd be upset too.
Yeah, that's why I figured it probably was.
All right, webradio@patriots.com is the email address. Josh writes in. He says, another Tuesday without Andy the A-hole Hart. Woo! Congrats to Gary. Sorry to hear Eric's woman gave him the boot. Glad you're back, Tom. Keep up the good work. Hey, Fred, I'll be coming up to New Hampshire from the 4th to the 20th July. Can I come to the barbecue? I'll bring a pizza and a side of buffalo wings. No. Sorry about that.
That's why I like you, Fred. You just, no. Don't come up with an excuse.
I'm not opening up that can of worms. You know? Although, I don't know. Maybe we could have some contest.
You want people knowing where you actually live?
No.
That's...
No?
Yeah, that was a party that was taking place here, Fred.
Different story.
That'd be a different story.
That's true.
I gotta...
Because I was thinking to myself, if Belichick can agree to do stuff where you can have dinner with the coach, I mean... Maybe we could do some type of contest where we could go to the barbecue. But
you don't agree to go to the coach's house together.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So that's the difference.
But speaking of which, is Bill coming to the party this year?
No.
No?
No.
What's this make? 8 years in a row?
Well, he's never been invited.
Oh.
Yeah.
Why don't you invite him?
No, thanks.
Just for, you know.
Oh, that would be a real comfortable party for everyone. If
Yeah, I'd have, no, never mind. Yeah. I'd have a great time. That's all I can say.
Let's see. Christian writes in, Chris Simonelli. I totally agree with Tom about the NFL Network. I'm a football junkie. The only thing I really like are the NFL replays they have on Sundays all day. This past week was the Pittsburgh game, which was great. Total Access is pretty good. Get rid of the follies. They blow. I was wondering what you guys think of Merriweather this upcoming season. Do you see him challenging Sanders for playing time or in more of a nickel role?
Some people in the local media think he's going to make the Pro Bowl, but that's just
Who's
some
that?
People.
Who's that now?
Some of our colleague friends, one in particular. He's really,
I
pretty
think
high
both of
it.
Those things are true, though.
But
I
yeah,
think he'll challenge
he will.
Sanders for playing time, and he'll be in a nickel role. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's necessarily those are mutually exclusive. I think that he has a chance to start, and I think the money would be on Sanders and Harrison, but I think. I would consider Merriweather a starter right now because I think he will be a staple in their defense, whether that's in five or six defensive back alignments or whatever. Maybe he's even in the cornerback situation. Yep. I think he's part of the defense, Merriweather.
Yep. Alden writes, in a few quick things, I agree with you guys that I think the defense is going to look like it's better. It's funny because you can't really point to any one particular thing that makes the defense that much better. It's really just a combination of smaller things. New depth in the secondary, youth at linebacker, an overall infusion of rookie talent on defense. Dom Capers joining the coaching staff. That's another one. We didn't mention that. Victor Hobson joining the linebacker corps, et cetera, et cetera. What I really like about this is that it seems we are making a lot of little improvements to make the overall whole better, even if we lost one of our best players in Samuel. It's kind of like how the Celtics seem to be getting by not so much by any one player, but by contributions at the right time from key role players. Also, Fred, I wanted to thank you for keeping up morale and instilling a rah-rah attitude for us in the upcoming year. Embrace the hate in 08, baby. For as much flack as you get for being a homer, and rightly so, your high spirits and positive outlook has helped me to get over the Super Bowl loss and look forward to next year. So there you go. Oh, and Eric, please stop watching the Fox News Channel if you want us to still think you are an intelligent person. Really, at times they make even the Chinese media look objective. That's true, Eric.
Again, there are two shows that I watch on that station. Two. And they have them. They're the shows with the two most reputable journalists in, that are employed by them. So, there you go.
Why do you apologize?
I'm not apologizing. I'm just telling
you
like this.
Well, it's like you're qualifying. Oh, I only listen to two shows on that station, whatever. Right. I mean, so does anybody really think MSNBC is giving you the real scoop?
Right. No. Fox is the most watched news station in the world.
Where do you get your news, Eric?
From Fox, from those two shows. And from the newspaper. I read the newspaper okay. every day.
You don't watch any other news shows on TV?
No. No need.
You don't watch CNN?
No need. The Communist News Network? No, I don't watch them.
Why are they communist? I think, if you ask me, I think right now MSNBC is liberal.
Oh,
Fox
big
is
time.
Conservative, and I think CNN is more down the middle than
CNN
both.
CNN is liberal.
Yeah. Come
you
on.
Think they're liberal too?
Yes, Fred.
First of all, unless you are overly conservative, as like Fox is, you're liberal. I mean, let's say it like it is in the media.
I don't know.
There are a handful of conservative newspapers / television stations around, and the rest are, to me, over the top liberal.
Mm-hmm. Wow. I mean, have you walked, like on primary night, you know, when the networks have their coverage?
Yeah.
I think CNN, their selection of analysts, I think is the most balanced of all of them.
But you're arguing two different things now. It's not saying that CNN doesn't have good coverage, but overall.
Exactly.
Right.
And I'm not saying that they don't have guests on.
Right. The overall bent.
I mean, you can have guests on that are both
right.
on both sides.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You can bring on a panel of experts, so-called experts.
I hear what you're saying.
You can have your share of, you know, Stephanopoulos's and, you know, on either side.
I just think MSNBC, no doubt left. Fox, no doubt right.
Sure.
I think CNN tries the hardest to be down the middle.
Huh?
No,
I think out of the three you mentioned, they're down the middle the most,
right.
for sure.
But they're definitely.
You think they lean right?
Left.
Oh, they lean left.
Yeah, of course.
Okay. Is there any station that you think, Eric, is down the middle?
No.
No. Everyone
of
has
the major of the major.
Everybody,
team? No.
Everybody has an agenda.
Everyone has an agenda.
Okay. We can say that in sports, and it's not really affecting anything. But why should we think it's any different in politics?
Okay.
It is what it is.
Alden also says, forgot to mention, did you see Spector said that he is giving up his pursuit of Spygate?
Yeah, actually,
he
Tom
says
that
the committee that is too busy.
Now he's into something
now
else.
Now he's going to look into the publicly financed stadiums.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Now that supports the people who said that he was working for Comcast because one NFL thing didn't work. Now he's going after another NFL thing. So maybe it just wasn't the Patriots. Maybe it's he's just trying to get to the NFL.
What do you think of that?
Could be. But that's good news. You know? So I think that is the end of it.
Yeah.
I think that's the end of it.
He is the only. It was the end of it before. He was the only guy still.
Well, the end of it came in the middle of last
senator,
month.
When a senator doesn't want it to be the end of it, you know, there's a good chance it isn't. But,
no one was with him. You know,
right.
It
that's
wasn't,
the thing.
It wasn't like the.
There wasn't a groundswell.
It wasn't even like the steroid thing where, you know, like the committee got together and they had this. You know, sizable contingent that was determined to try to look into it and get to the bottom of it. They had none of that. It was just Spector alone on an island.
His right. colleagues, some of them probably called him up and said, listen, the kid testified.
Right.
He said that he doesn't have nothing. It's over. Let it go. Yeah.
If Walsh had something, maybe there would have been.
Oh, absolutely.
You know.
If Walsh came out and delivered the goods,
sure.
you know, the way many thought he would or had, then this wouldn't be over right
of course
now.
Not.
But no, let's face it. He was the guy.
Right.
He ended
nothing.
It by saying, I don't have it. I don't have anything. Now, you can sit there and believe in all the conspiracy theories you want as to, you know, what they did to shut him up. But the fact of the matter remains, he didn't have anything.
On record, he says he
had nothing. On record, he had nothing.
You got to have proof. I mean, I could sit here and tell you that the Celtics could beat the Lakers 25 times straight, and
right.
the NBA
and the
just wants
could,
us to go on. But
and the Lakers
no
could
proof.
Win the next two games, and, you know, what are you going to do? I can't prove my point.
Right. That did remind me, though, a kind of a related matter, because it has to do with government and media. The FCC approved the Sirius XM merger yesterday.
Oh, it's good news for rich people like you, right?
So what does that mean now, Fred, like for shows and stuff?
Well, I think that, one, I think that there's going to be more shows, but they also promise that as a consumer, you'll be able to buy just packages rather than have to buy the whole thing. So
can you get the NFL on XM now?
Well, it'll be one company.
Oh, it's okay. It's just one thing now.
Yeah.
I don't know
how quickly they'll create that transition, but that's the way it'll be.
They're going to come up with a different name, or is it going to be called XM?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know who gets to have the name.
Because wasn't XM bigger?
They were at one time, but I think as far as growth, Sirius was outpacing them. So I don't know.
XM came first, right?
XM came first. Yep. They had a big head start. And they got into more cars faster.
They did.
But, you know, there is a question about the what's going to happen with satellite radio. You know, the future is unclear. But I love it.
Well, what does that mean? Why? What's the matter?
Well, I mean, you know, there's all the HD radios coming up and a lot of alternative type of media. You know, the question is, do people want to pay extra for radio?
I wish Andy was here. Do I want to pay extra so every time we go under a tree that I lose the station?
Actually, it was his head, I found out, that was blocking the frequency. No, but I love Sirius. I'd have to have it.
But for Andy's purposes, it couldn't have gone out at a better time for him to bitch, because we'd listened to Stern and we're building up to this huge punchline. And just before they get to the punchline, the thing goes out. So Andy never got to hear it. So now he's got that he can lean on.
Right.
I don't know, but I listen to my iPod when I'm in the car.
Good
usually,
for you.
Usually, I don't even, you know.
Now, does that require
on your iPod? Music?
Music, yeah.
Do you have the earpiece?
You don't like download books?
No.
Books on tape?
No, I read books, Fred.
I need to
I don't
do
have
that.
Books right
I need to
me.
Get. I got an iPod for my birthday.
Yeah.
And I know nothing about how to set it up or anything like that, but I need to get the some music because my new car, Fred. You know, my old car was so old that it actually had a cassette.
Oh my God.
Player. My 99 Accord. So I have all these mixtapes that I listen to, especially on the way home from overnights, because you won't hire a copy editor. So I'm very afraid that I'm going to fall asleep on the way home one night. And I have these, you know, songs that, you know, from yesterday that I listen to and sing as loud as I can to keep myself awake.
Boys.
I have to get it all downloaded
Boys,
onto my iPod. No
Backstreet.
No Backstreet Boys. First of all, you do know that I like those kinds of...
I know you do. You like the boy bands.
Gay music. Not necessarily boy bands. But.
Oh, they're boy bands.
Yeah, I don't necessarily like boy bands, but I have no problems admitting that I like that kind of...
but that kind, that's the NSYNC.
Which
and
most people would consider trash
the back,
music.
Those are boy bands.
What?
NSYNC is a boy band.
I know. I'm not talking about boy bands. I'm just talking about that kind of music in general.
Like here, Tom.
Why are you insisting that it's got to be a boy band?
You said you like that kind of music.
It's the style of music. It has nothing to do with the band.
Those are boy bands.
All right. Well, Christina Aguilera I like.
That's a different kind of music.
No, it's not. Such a retard.
Did we ever tell you the story about Paul with NSYNC?
Big surprise that Dan was able to find a Backstreet Boys song right off the go.
Paul bought his niece tickets to NSYNC when they were playing at Foxborough or Gillette
Stadium. Yeah.
Was it back in 2000,
the old stadium?
I think.
It was the old stadium.
The old stadium. And so Paul had a plan where he was going to meet up with his niece, you know. And
make the exchange?
Make the exchange at Papageno's. So... Well, you know, during the day, this kid who was the former webmaster, Rick, he rigged up this sign with coat hangers that said, "I love NSYNC."
Honk if you love
Honk
NSYNC.
Honk if you love NSYNC. And he attached it to the back of Paul's car so that when he's in the parking lot getting in, he wouldn't see
it. But
it
was propped up under the fender in the back of the car.
So as soon as he started driving, it would
flip
down.
Oh, okay.
So Paul's driving up and down Route 1 with the sign on the back of his car saying, "Honk if you love NSYNC."
Seriously.
How many honks did you get?
Oh, a lot. And I'm driving from Walpole it was literally a span of a mile.
Yeah, right down the road.
Walpole to Papageno's.
Yeah.
Where our old office was, and everybody's driving by me, beeping at me, and I'm like, what the hell's going on? And
I thought they recognized him.
And I'm by my, not especially at that time. I had no idea. And I was by myself. I was meeting my wife and my sister-in-law and my two nieces who were going to the concert. No idea. Everybody's
funny.
Beeping at me. And finally, I pull out, and my wife goes, what the hell's on the back of your car? And I'm just like looking at it. It was great.
Did you know who did it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It was right hilarious. Right. And by the way, don't even try to make it out to be anything it wasn't. Never got mad for a second. It was one of the funniest things anybody's ever done to me.
All right. But I had a good laugh at that one. That was
Paul very good.
Along
saying, what the hell is everyone beeping at me for?
And well, I was like, Fred, you know, why are they beeping?
I just have this funny. I always
never seen anybody drive.
When I think of Paul driving, I always have a funny picture because the first time I ever saw Paul driving, he was supposed to be on the team bus going to the Logan Airport.
Oh, when he was
north on Route 1, and he's coming south in his Honda Accord, all red faced and sweating because he's late.
I missed the bus.
Yeah, Paul told
me
that's
very, my very first regular season game, I missed the bus.
But you made it on the plane.
But I made it to the plane. I beat the bus to the airport.
That was pre-9/11.
Yeah.
But we actually saw him. We're in the bus, and we're like, is that Paul? And he's coming to the opposite direction on Route 1.
Oh. And then I turned around, and I passed the bus and got to the airport, and then I ran into the terminal because back in those days we flew Northwest. And I ran up and I said, I'm on the Patriots charter. I need to, you know, and they're like, oh, right down here at this gate. Don't worry about it. You got plenty of time. So I run down the thing and they let me in and I walked in. You know, thinking about it now, I probably would have had a hard time because I would have had some sort of security check
right,
or whatever.
Pre-9/11.
So I get on and people are basically on the plane at this time, but well before they were ready to take off. Yep. People were just kind of getting on and the looks on the faces of the coach. I mean, like it was first game of the year, so it's early September. I was profusely sweating.
Was this the Pete Carroll days?
Yeah. But Dante gave me one of those looks that, you know, that the linemen get in the inferno.
Right.
I got one of those.
Ooh, that's not good.
And I just walked down. I was dripping wet, and everybody. And then I get to like past the coaches' area in first class, and I get to our area, and everybody started clapping because they all knew Fred had seen me and said, "Oh, he's coming! Yeah. He's coming!"
Let's see.
That day on, I was running.
I was driving. Josh says, Paul, correction. The winning streak was 21 in a row. Steelers fans had signs saying 21 and done. That was the Halloween game. The game they won where Matt Light broke his leg and Harrison blew out his knee was the season after they beat the Eagles in the Super Bowl. It was an October game, and it was won basically at the gun by a Vinatieri field goal.
It was a September game,
to that game,
and it was the
great
third game of the year.
All right, well, we got
Paul's
should
right.
Should I get the Patriots media guide out?
Paul's right.
It was Fred. It was
it's
Tom's
first
game in 05.
I wouldn't argue with Paul.
It was the Raiders on Thursday
night.
They
lost Rodney Harrison and Matt Light in the same game.
You don't have to get it, Eric. You don't have to. I'm telling you right now,
I'm not arguing about the number of wins in a row because I never remember the winning streaks.
It was the Raiders on the opening Thursday night.
Yep.
Then it was at Carolina, and then it was Pittsburgh.
Yeah. And that was that was the year they started off win loss.
Right. And Andy said that was the one where he said something about for PFW the win loss thing. I forget what he was saying, but. I laughed at him.
What a great story.
Yeah,
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Something to do with win-loss. Oh, he wanted one of the covers to be not a roller coaster, but something like that, and I shot him down, and he got all mad because...
Well, Andy and I always get mad because you always shoot our covers down.
Well, and for our readers' sake, thank God.
Yeah. Well, you're there to save us from ourselves.
That's right. Mike from Pensacola. My question is on Chad Jackson. I can see him having 700 to 800 yards receiving and 6 TDs this season. I probably have more faith in him than most Patriots fans, mainly because I live in Florida and I'm a diehard Gator fan and I've seen what he can do on the field when healthy. And I think that kind of production is possible. Also, speaking of SEC players, do you see Ben Watson having a big year this year? It seems the last couple of years we have expected a breakout season from him, and he seems not to meet expectations. Do you think he will, or is what he appears to be now a serviceable tight end with
susceptible?
Yeah, suspect hands, I think he means, who tends to underachieve.
How many years has Watson been in the league?
I just want to know, before you guys, what are you expecting? You know, is he going to live up to expectations. I need to know. I'm with Tom on this. What are the expectations?
We're expecting Marcus Pollard when he was in his prime.
It doesn't take take 5 years for people to break out. You are who you are at that point. Okay. Christ, his career's half over.
If someone's expecting an 80-catch, 1,100-yard, 12-touchdown season, it ain't going to happen.
Expecting Antonio Gates?
If that happens, I think that's a major, major story.
There's your answer.
If Randy Moss and Wes Welker do that, that's what you're expecting.
Also, I wanted to give my opinion on Eric and his potential move to Patriots playbook. I think he should be moved to playbook permanently. He doesn't seem to fit in on the show, and now that the threat of him being kicked off the show has come up, he is more vocal, but never seems to say anything of significance or anything that is relevant in contributing to the show in any way. Sorry, Eric, I do think you are an all right guy, and I hope everything goes well with that girlfriend of yours. She's a great girl, right? Thanks, guys. Keep up the good work, especially Andy, Tom, and Paul. You guys make the show great.
Wow, that's a snub at you too, there,
Fred. That's a little. That's a bit of a swipe.
Yeah, I have.
Usually, I'm the one that gets left out of those.
I feel very secure in myself, so I don't.
Well, good for you, Fred.
You're in charge, so
it took you to get to age 47 before you felt secure and comfortable in your own skin. I like that.
47 and half million a year, and Fred's okay with himself.
God, don't I wish.
250. Did you see? Did you hear about that email from last week?
Would that it were.
How they wanted to revamp the whole thing here and have us invest more into the radio. And said, here's the answer to all the problems is we get Fred $250,000 plus a car.
A limo.
Yeah, a limo. And I got.
So he's taking a pay cut?
I got $200 and like a company car. You and Andy got $150 and a bus pass. And like a bus pass. And you, I don't know, I forget what you got. You got $100.
I was
like,
with them.
Oh, were you with them?
I was with them, yeah.
Hey, Cali Girl writes in. She says she's so glad you guys are going to research the bobblehead idea. I know. I'm a freaking genius. I'll buy them all. No one's going to buy those.
Chelsea's going to. Chelsea, as she signs
her emails. Hey, Fred, how come you have so little faith in us, though? I heard you say when me and you were arguing the other week, you said, it's a nice little radio show. Is that how you thought when you were building that paper up?
Right now it is.
But when's it ever going to grow? This is it, like I told you. When Brady leaves, listen, you can keep Belichick all you want. When Brady goes, it's over. It's all over.
We're going to do some things this year that are going to help the show.
Oh, okay. Thanks.
Some new distribution methods that are going to help awareness.
I have this vision of you thinking big, like when you first started out. Now it's you just going with the flow. I guess I would, too, if I was making $500,000 a year. I wouldn't give a crap about people like me.
No one else you can get to go on that Rook show?
But why don't you want to?
I don't understand why you don't want to.
As much as I hate you guys, I do like you guys.
That doesn't mean you can't see us.
That's nice.
I don't want to just see
this
you.
The whole crossover thing?
No, that's 5 minute waste of time at the end? No.
Well, I just think that it's a good fit. I think, first of all, I need John. John needs the help.
Well, but why does he need my help?
Well, because you're you. I think the two of you might be a good pair.
No? No, you're not selling me.
No?
The Rook and the Queen?
That's not, certainly not selling me either.
No, we're not going to call it Checkmate. That's not going to be the name of the show. We'll come up with some other show.
No, like maybe. I said, that's a very funny line, but when it has to be explained to that that level, it doesn't work.
No, we'll come up with another name.
Maybe people will like email in and say, "Wow, Eric, you know a lot about football." Could you imagine like if everything just turned?
Right.
You know way more than those buffoons in that earlier show.
I think this will give you more of a forum. More.
This is the show of record. This is the show of record on this.
That doesn't mean another show can't emerge.
That's not gonna. You know that's not gonna.
That doesn't mean – I'm sure people will still email the other show. I think you're going to bring a lot of crossover fans. Yeah. And it'll be a show that you're not embarrassed to have your girlfriend listen to.
That's true.
Right?
We'll see.
I think you can
I don't think he has a girlfriend anymore, but other than that part.
I don't think it ended well. Really? I really don't think it ended well.
I'm not talking with you guys.
I'm not talking the whole rest of this trip.
So if things did end, would you tell us?
No.
No? So forever we have to assume that you're going out with this 19-year-old girl from Delaware.
What kind of answer is that? If things ended, you'd never tell us? What the hell is wrong with you?
Even Dave Dudek would share that stuff.
You don't have to tell us all your intimate secrets, but you can tell us whether or not you have a girlfriend.
That's true. It's not like we're asking you like some serious.
No. Okay.
Secrets.
No. That's just one of my weaknesses. When I start talking about things like that, I say too much. So I'm reeling myself in.
Really?
We've made tremendous progress here, Fred. He actually admits that he has weaknesses now.
Wow.
I never said
that. To me, this sounds like the M.O. of a man who made up a girlfriend.
No. Yeah, you know what? Maybe that Rook thing isn't such a bad idea.
Did you get a call from her father?
No.
Stay away from my little
girl. No, her father loves me.
Listen, that was fun, you know, on vacation.
Right.
Let it go, son.
Right.
Let it go.
Right. We saw your paintings, and there's no future in it. My daughter's marrying a doctor.
Do you really think I'm going to let my daughter hang out with a slacker such as you?
Chris Simonelli says, great to have you back, Tom. Get well soon.
Thanks, Chris.
Bill Berry. His name is William Berry. I call him Bill Berry.
Oh, I see.
Guess who I want to say, quote, when your wife makes a pie, do I get a piece? What does that mean?
I don't know.
Guess who I want to say, quote, when your wife makes a pie, do I get a piece? Who do you want to say that, Bill? I don't know. Who would say
Where's
that?
Where's the crickets, Mini Gary?
We're trying to figure
lost.
It out.
I really don't.
Who on this show does he want to
yeah,
say
who
that?
Does he
maybe
want
Andy?
Yeah, I was thinking
that's,
maybe
I
Andy.
That's an Andy line. I mean, Andy can make anything sound sexual.
But so, where does that so come from? Like, why does he looking for someone to say that?
Did he say that to you last week? You said that maybe, I don't know.
My wife has never made a pie. No, that's not true. She's made one or two, but she's not a pie maker.
I don't. She's not a pie maker.
Does your wife bake?
No.
Paul? No? No baking?
Definitely not pies.
No?
Like cookies or something like that. But
how about Allison? Does she bake?
No.
No?
She can't cook for crap.
Really? Baking is a lost art, I think. You know?
I mean, well, that's like my mother bakes.
Yeah.
Like, I think today, in today's society, I don't think too many women do that
anymore. Yeah, there's
anymore.
A difference
like,
between cooking and baking.
Right.
Baking is, you know, with the yeast and the
and
thing.
And it takes time.
Yeah.
It's an art.
No, I agree. I don't think
you got to put it into the oven and you got to take it out and you got to put it.
I love that. That's my favorite Fredism.
No, there's nothing better to me than a hot apple pie. I love apple pie.
Maybe it was Fred that he wanted to say that.
Maybe.
You know? So
cherry pie?
good apple pie is good. Lemon meringue. I like lemon meringue. I like cherry pie, too. Nothing? You guys, no reaction?
Well, I'm not a big...
You guys aren't pie eaters?
I'm not a big...
You need Andy for this.
I eat a lot of pie.
I ate her pie?
No. I didn't say that.
Oh, sorry.
I didn't say that. So.
Boston cream, that's about it.
You like Boston cream?
Love it.
Oh, that's gross.
Andy would be telling you. Andy would be telling you he likes key lime pie.
Key lime pie Andy likes, and he likes...
I like key lime.
And he likes lemon meringue.
Key lime is good.
Pumpkin?
Pumpkin's okay. Yeah, good pumpkin. Blueberry? I don't like it when it's too soggy.
Blueberry?
I love blueberry pie. Messy, though.
Yeah. Very messy.
But
like
apple's my favorite. That's my all-time favorite.
Mm-hmm. You're an all-American guy.
And I don't like it when people leave the full apple slices in there. I don't like big chunks. I like it when they're cut up.
Do you?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I like it smaller pieces of apple in there.
So you won't eat it if
there's
I like
the same chunks? Amount of apple, but I like them in smaller pieces.
You know, when we go upstairs and Chris says, what did you guys talk about today? I'm going to say pie. The different kinds of pie and... And the intricacies of slicing the pieces of apple
I'm
thin.
I'm going to say, stop asking us that.
I'd always rather have a pie than a cake, unless it's ice cream cake.
Oh, see, now that's a blowout. Cake is much better than pie.
Really? Oh, okay.
What are you laughing in there, Mini Gary? I know that you know you have to watch your girlish figure. You can't have pies and cakes.
I was just laughing at the thing the guy wrote that said, you never met an ice cream cake you didn't like.
Yeah, I figured it had something to do with my weight. Because that seems to be the only source of your enjoyment.
Let's see. Chelsea said...
That also made me laugh, by the way. I called my wife in to show her that.
What's that?
On James's website, they have the little scrolling thing, and they talked about how it was my birthday, and I had mentioned that the guys got me a cake, an ice cream cake. And some guy wrote in, I bet Paul never found an ice cream cake he didn't like, the fat bastard.
Chelsea, or Cali girl, writes in again, in school we've been learning airbrush makeup, so last night I made a stencil and created my own flying Elvis body art. Check it out. She gives us
Frank, seriously, are you
going
to, like,
look at it?
Are
right?
You all right?
Why?
Because you're going to, like, burp up a lung any day now.
I just ate a cheeseburger sub in,
so
like,
did
2 minutes. But you're used to it.
He's proud of himself.
Little Mark Capello over there.
Josh in Arlington again. The game was on September 25th. I was close. The greater point was that the total win streak
Paul
was
21. Right. You were close, and I was right.
They had won 15 straight to close out the Super Bowl against Carolina, were 6-0 before losing to the Steelers in Week 8. If you had qualified your number as regular season wins, you would have been correct with 18.
I didn't qualify it. The emailer asked what the record was that we were going after.
The 21 was for straight games won. That September
right.
game was a great game to go to, but so depressing to see Light and Harrison go down with very serious injuries. So, there you go.
Then poor Marty Schottenheimer actually gave the Patriots a little credit for playing so hard without those guys the following week and got his doors blown off by Belichick and Brady.
James says, Fred, the show is more than a nice little show. Come on. You've got your own wet fan site, and there's a forum thread on PFWinProgress.com with people clamoring
website,
for PFW merchandise, bobbleheads included. Get it done, Fred, before I do. So...
How mad would Fred be if some fan comes out and makes bobblehead dolls and they become like the highest selling thing?
It wouldn't surprise me.
Well, you can't go and sell somebody's likeness.
I was going to say, you can't do that.
You can sell mine.
No, but if they
I wouldn't mind if they did that because I'll take the money for nothing.
Right.
If he found the demand for it and had like pre-orders that were like through the roof.
And I would sue them and take the money.
The bobbleheads is kind of just like our talking point that we talk. It's kind of funny.
It's a jumping off point.
But I don't necessarily think you have to go bobbleheads.
We gotta make t-shirts.
T-shirts, you know, some hats, some stuff like that. I bet you'd have some success selling that stuff.
I think we should make PFW in progress wipes.
Those would sell.
Yeah, I do.
Are they flushable?
Of course they have to be.
Okay.
They have to be flushable. Right?
PFW wipes? Evidently the baby ones aren't. I got yelled at for flushing some baby ones.
What are you supposed to do with them if you don't flush them?
I flush
them
all
away.
Mine.
Ugh, gross. You know,
what do you do with the refuse in your house if you don't throw it away?
Well, I flush it down the toilet.
All of the trash in your house gets flushed
trash.
Down the toilet.
No, not that little piece of soap.
That's right. I'm green.
That's what we've been missing the last couple of weeks.
Dan in Fairfax corrects me. He says the FCC did not approve the merger of the satellite radio companies yesterday. The chairman of the FCC announced that he will recommend that the FCC approve the merger.
There will be five
members voting, including the chairman, but they need 3 of the 5 to vote yes before the FCC can approve. So there's a clarification.
Well, I'm sure somebody stuffed money into someone else's pocket.
Well, it'd be interesting if they vote that down, then I guarantee somebody did do that on the other end. You know, because there's a lot to lose there for traditional radio, for terrestrial radio. You know, they don't want to see satellite getting, you know, stronger and more popular because it's just better.
But now, how does it make it significantly stronger by having them merge? Now, I can understand for XM and Sirius's business perspectives, it's better for them. But how does it make the entity of satellite radio stronger?
Well, if they continue on the course that they are now as separate entities, they're going to be out of business in 5 years.
Both or one?
I think both.
Won't one of them win?
I don't think that. I don't think so. I think that they're just too.
Is there not enough demand?
They're too in debt right now.
Help the business idiot out here. So now they combine. Why will they together not be in danger of
right
together?
Because
you get
overhead,
more stuff, right?
Overhead,
their margins will
you know
go up.
Economies of
scale,
you know, scale.
But how is it going to increase and hurt terrestrial radio anymore? Is my point. I guess
that's what
I'm trying to get.
Well, that's where the question
because
is.
Because they'll just last longer, and more people will discover the longer they last.
I love the way Fred talks about the entity of satellite radio.
The longer they last,
the more people discover it
as a better alternative, the stronger
Fred,
it's going to be. But they have to last longer.
Isn't like now you'll get – like say like I travel all the time and I wanted to hear college football games and NFL.
Right.
Now that was split before, right?
Sirius had it all.
Oh, they had everything?
They had everything except baseball.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So that doesn't matter.
Yeah. Let's see. Dagmar from Miami says, just want to ask you if you had already anyone to do caricatures Oh, boy, I can't talk.
No, you can't, but yes, we did.
Yes, caricatures for the website. Let me know what you all think. Something else that I want to ask you is, have any of you taken any look to what Lucas Stadium is going to look like? To me, it looks like a big, huge warehouse or factory. Definitely nothing interesting.
Okay. Yeah, we saw it when we were in Indy.
I disagree. It reminded me of Ford Field, and that's my favorite one.
Had the brick facade on the outside.
Loved it. Yeah.
It has that. It's hard to tell. I think it's going to be an open roof.
It's an old Cowboy Stadium.
God, no. That will be the mecca of all stadiums. But I don't know if the Colts will have any of the bells and whistles in it that you need. Like Ford Field, I think, is outstanding. Reliant Stadium, those are my favorites. I don't know if it'll have those kinds of bells and whistles. Indianapolis, I probably think not. It's a smaller market.
And there's not enough of a footprint there for them to have all that
other
extra
stuff. But I think the building itself, I think, is very impressive.
Yeah,
that brick facade and that warehouse look, I really like that.
It's a classic old school kind
of
look. It's
not like
the new modern looking stadiums.
But I don't know about the scoreboards and sight lines and things like that that those other stadiums have.
We'll be there.
Speaking of scoreboards and new stadiums, you hear the problems they're having down in Dallas?
Well, I would imagine.
Three guys got hit by a crane there, and
one
guy died on an electrical accident.
Yeah.
So they're having trouble down there.
But people will read that into, Dallas isn't doing it right.
Patriots did it better.
Like these mistakes don't happen everywhere. No, here we just had a beam hit a member of the PFW family.
Well, in Dallas they're putting up a TV bigger than this entire stadium. So
HD, by the way.
Yeah, they got a lot of stuff they got to get done there.
Bill writes in again. He says, as far as the pie thing, he says, watch The Godfather, you moron. Do they say that in The Godfather?
Say what?
Somebody makes a pie, I want a piece. Something along those lines.
I don't know what he's talking about. I've seen The Godfather 800 times.
I'm just going to keep myself.
Yeah, Bill, you moron. Bill also says, Eric is not that bad. If Eric goes, you might as well fire Andy. Seriously, what can Andy talk about if he doesn't have Eric to rag on? And Fred, who talks like The Godfather? Allison's husband, you freaking moron. What?
Oh, so in other words, he's talking about you having
He wanted me to say. Oh, I see. Okay.
When your wife makes a pie, give me a piece or something like that?
I just don't remember that line.
I don't remember that line from The Godfather.
Eric,
that I can say. But Tom definitely sounds like Don Corleone.
Oh, of course.
We've been talking about that all morning.
Yeah.
Eric, if you go to Rook's show, it can't get worse. And any uptick in listeners is credited to you. If nothing happens, no one blames you.
That's true.
You can only win on that one.
You're really sad about this, aren't you?
I'm a little.
Really?
He's going to cry himself to sleep, Fred. You can't do this now.
I'll
go to Rook's show.
No.
You want to go to Rook's show?
Go.
No.
You can't go, Paul.
Not really.
No?
You're not going to go anywhere.
I'll jump on the grenade, though.
Well, John, I think, John, it's tough to do a show by yourself.
It's tough to do a show with John.
Paul knows. Paul, the solo Paul show was one
I've
of the PFW moments in history.
That's right.
It's one of the most boring 2 hours in the history of my life.
Back in the day, I used to do this show by myself from time to time.
You did?
These guys would not be around.
I don't remember that.
I do 2 hours by myself.
I did a show by myself at the Super Bowl when Fred and Brian had to go to the U2 press conference and Shane was drunk from the night before and fell asleep in the middle of the show. I was flying solo that day.
Again?
Boy, was I mad at you and Brian that day.
Well, we planned it out.
Oh, yeah.
I can't help it if Shane didn't,
Shane falling asleep had nothing to do with it. You don't think anybody else would have liked to have experienced the Super Bowl? You just decided, we're out of here. Had no idea where they were. Find out later they get back. Oh, he went to the Bono press conference.
I go to one thing.
Oh, okay.
I go to one thing.
It wasn't so much you as it was your sidekick who thought he was better than everybody else.
Uh-oh.
Same guy who got hit by a beam, by the way.
And it wasn't a gym beam. All right. Web radio.
I love when Fred gets uncomfortable. Yeah. He's like Rodney. Yeah. All right.
Web radio at Patriots.com. Everyone's going to be watching the Celtics tonight. Game 6.
Are you going to watch, Fred?
In the Garden. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Can you get me tickets?
I can't.
Why don't you go upstairs and talk to Jonathan now? And say, listen, my boy's been with me for 10 years.
I can't. It's not something I can ask. I never ask for those things.
Yeah, I know. This would be the first time.
I know.
This is one time. I might never ask you for a favor. This is one time.
I just can't do it.
Did I miss it? I missed it. I meant to go on that raffle. God.
Why do you want to see this game so bad?
I told you, just for the novelty of having been to a finals game in all four sports.
Oh, I see.
Plus, it's rare that if, you know, they win it tonight, it'll be a rare time when a Boston team actually is winning a championship in the city.
No, but Paul's been asking for tickets for a while. You know.
Yeah, since the playoffs started.
So it's just a thing where you want to create, you know, finish the Grand Slam.
Kind of the novelty of being to a finals game in all four sports. I've been to a Stanley Cup final game in 88. I was at, obviously, the four Super Bowls, and I was at a World Series game in 04.
Why don't you offer your wife? Did you see that guy?
Yeah.
He's on Craigslist offering a night with his wife
for
Celtics tickets. Apparently, she's pretty hot.
He said ridiculous. Just dinner.
Does she know about this?
Oh, now it's just
dinner. Just dinner.
If I'm going to put my wife up for auction, I'm at least getting a luxury suite, not just any old ticket.
And who the hell wants to have dinner with his wife?
Right, that's true.
Right, unless she's nude.
But they had a great thing. You know Joe O'Donnell, Fred?
Yeah.
He has a suite. His personal suite is like right at half court. And he put that up for a raffle on the website they were talking about on EEI. For $2, you can get a raffle ticket, and but you have to buy five, I guess. So you had to spend at least $10, which is nothing.
Right.
Now, there's probably going to be millions of people in the raffle, and your chances are minuscule. But I meant to go on and do that, and I forgot. It closed at 1 o'clock.
That's kind of clever marketing, because it really doesn't make a difference whether it's one ticket for $10 or five tickets for $10. And you have to buy them, because it's now more tickets. You think you have, I have four extra chances, but so does everybody else.
Right.
So the odds are the same, exactly.
And there's no limit to how many you could buy. But that's a good way of doing it. Rather than just having an auction so you feel like you have no chance to compete. You know, because how many people wouldn't even get involved in an auction because they're saying, I'm not going to spend that money. But it's just a raffle. I'll take my shot with a raffle. Who knows? Maybe I'll get lucky.
Yeah.
And you're going to raise the same amount of money probably, right?
Yep.
That an auction would.
So how many years he... Two?
Four seats. For his personal luxury
suite. He'll still be there with his people.
I don't know how many clients or whatever. Oh. Joe O'Donnell, good ever boy, Freddie.
Oh, yeah.
He's
always given to the charities, you know.
Speaking of Everett, have you seen Gone Baby Gone, Fred?
No.
You should.
I highly recommend Gone Baby Gone.
I've heard it was good. I want to see it.
There's at least one scene that does take place in Everett, actually in Everett.
I told you, I'm very skeptical of that.
You told me that it was Everett.
I told you when they were driving around that rotary, that was definitely Everett.
That's what
I don't
saying.
Think that house that they go into.
No, not the house.
Supposed to be in Everett.
No, not the house. The scene where they're driving. You said.
There was one sign, one spot in the background where I see something I think is Everett.
But you should see it.
Was it a drug dealer?
Yeah. Well, even worse.
Yeah.
Really?
Child molester.
Oh no! Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
How do you get on the show?
It's a movie, Fred.
How do you get in the movie?
It's part of the.
I think they were just
part of the plot.
Is this like? It didn't like really happen. Yeah. It's a movie, Fred.
No, but you said you saw something that
on the movie. I saw like when they were driving.
A landmark.
They were driving from Dorchester to Everett, and there was something
there was
in
a
the
landmark.
Car as they
right.
were driving. I think they were actually driving in Everett.
Yeah,
that's all. But I don't think the house they went into was actually in Everett.
I
if you
know
saw
why
the house,
confused.
If you saw the house. You wouldn't want it to be anywhere near anywhere you actually
Oh, it was a house, not a person.
No.
Yeah, it had nothing to do with an Everett person.
Okay,
no.
All right.
All of a sudden, the news comes on, and they're live in Everett with another child abduction.
And that house is an infamous house in Everett.
I don't think it's in Everett, the house that they showed. That's all I'm saying.
The street that he saw was in Everett. But then the house...
It's an infamous street.
No, well, not infamous,
infamous, but it's recognizable. And then when they get to the house that is allegedly
he's got
in
that
Everett,
look on his face like he wants to kill everybody.
When they get to the scene where they're at the house that's allegedly in Everett, he doesn't think it's actually in Everett. That house, that particular house.
I could be wrong on that, but anyway, it's a highly
recommend
the movie.
Where does the child predator come
part
into
of the
this?
Plot.
Fred, I thought I knew what they were talking about, but now I'm kind of with you. I'm lost.
Yeah, I'm completely.
Yeah, but I'm not surprised by that with you.
All right, well, that's going to do it for this edition of PFW in Progress. We'll try to sort out all this Everett stuff and get back to you on Thursday.